The Joe Rogan Association podcast is brought
association.
It's brought to
what
you
is
by
wrong with you?
I was thinking of my brain is crossing signals right now because I was thinking of radical feminist associations, and it got brought up. Sometimes I'm talking about something, and if I've done it too many times, like the introduction to the podcast, I go on full on autopilot. So I don't really know what the fuck is coming out of my mouth until it comes out. And then my brain goes, wait, what? So I went on full autopilot there. Fucked it up. The Joe Rogan Podcast is brought to you. This episode is actually brought to you by a guest sponsor, which is Audible.com. And if you've ever gone to Audible.com, if you're into audiobooks, it's the shit. It's a really amazing website. If you go to Audible.com/Joe, they, I don't know, what do? They hook you up with something?
Yeah, you
download
try
a free, okay, you can try it free for 30 days.
Yeah.
That's what it is. And believe me, if you're a person who commutes, especially, I think one of the things, one of the reasons why I was really into doing this is I think a lot of the people that listen to this podcast listen to it while they're commuting, or you listen to it when you're at the gym, or you listen to it when you're on a plane. And what I consider places where you're stuck somewhere, or you would like something to entertain you. And it's kind of a new, really an uncaptured form of entertainment. I mean, for the longest time, all we had was like radio and CDs in the cars. But with podcasts and audiobooks, man, sometimes I don't want to park. If I got a badass audiobook on and I'm really into it, I don't want to fucking park my car. I'll shut my phone off and I'll listen to a good story. And so Audible, if you try it free for 30 days, I guarantee you're going to like it. They have a tremendous selection of fiction and nonfiction, and the one that I'm going to recommend, they wanted me to recommend one, is The War of Art by a guy named Stephen Pressfield. And it's a fucking amazing book that really changed my life and made me really understand like the roadblocks to being creative and what people do sort of set themselves up for failure. They create little traps and problems in their creative life. And this book really outlines that better than anything I've ever written. And it's just, to me, like one of the most inspirational books that I've ever read. I haven't listened to the audio version of it, but I'm sure it's good. All the Audible ones are the shit. It's a really great website, so check it out. We're also brought to you by Onnit.com. If you go to Onnit.com now, you'll see that we have Hemp Force protein powder in, which is fucking sensational. It does not make you fart nearly as much as whey protein. It's really easy to digest. It's got maca and raw cocoa in it, and the maca is good for your endocrine system. It's supposed to make your dick hard, allegedly. It's never worked for me. I've never eaten maca and been like, fuck yeah, bitches. But that's one of the things it's supposed to do. It's supposed to increase your libido. And that raw cocoa is actually a very strong antioxidant and sweetened with stevia. So it only has 1 gram of sugar per serving. So it's very low sugar and it tastes fucking fantastic. And it's really good for you. It's called Hemp Force protein powder. And we also have kettlebells and battle ropes in, along with all the nootropics that we push every week, like Alpha Brain, which I take before every podcast. That's why I talk so much, bitch.
So what do you mix with this hemp stuff? Do you just mix it with ice, or do you mix it with like almond milk? Or
I use coconut water and a banana. That's what I use.
Cool.
And it's easy to
and
digest.
The vitamins?
Yeah, it's so easy to digest. It's like there's – I don't feel like I even ate something. Like I'm not hungry, but I don't feel like I ate something. It's super easy. Whereas I love like Muscle Milk, and there's a bunch of like protein powders that taste awesome. They like taste like treats, like dessert. But the shit just makes you fart like crazy. It's all that whey and sugar, and your body's like, what are you doing? Oh, okay. There's a good way to go about it and a bad way to go about it. And the hemp is the best way for me. Plus, you get marijuana street cred, yo. You know what I'm talking about? Where'd you get these muscles from, son? I'm going to get them shifts from weed, bitch. And if you are interested in the nootropics, I suggest that you Google the word nootropic and find out what the fuck it means. Because if you're taking advice from a comedian that used to be the Fear Factor host on anything, I suggest you look deeper. Nootropics are just vitamins. They're vitamins that have been shown to have a positive effect on cognitive function. Essentially, it helps your brain produce more neurotransmitters. It's like the building blocks of nutrition that your brain needs to function at an optimal level. And there's a lot of controversy behind the subject, but I've been a fan of nootropics for years. I've been taking them for years, and I absolutely feel the difference when I take them and when I don't, as well as I feel the difference between when I eat really healthy and when I don't, when I have like kale shakes for breakfast in the morning and eat like clean food and make sure I drink a lot of water. I feel different than when I just got off a plane and I've been eating shitty food. It's real obvious. Take care of your body, get optimum results, so you can be swole like me and Everlast. Get yourself some kettlebells, bitch. If you're interested in the kettlebells, we got them in sale, all different sizes, all different packages, battle ropes as well. What are battle ropes? Son, you got to learn. You got to learn about the battle ropes, crazy ropes you throw around like Conan the Barbarian and get one of them impressive physiques. All of it is available at onnit.com, so go check it out, O-N-N-I-T, and use the code name Rogan. You will save 10% off any and all supplements. And we also have a 100% money-back guarantee on the supplements, especially for the first order of, or essentially only, for the first order of 30 pills. We let you try it. And if you don't agree, you don't think that it's worth it, then you don't even have to send it back in to get your money back. And I think that's important because I don't want anybody to feel ripped off. I think the most important thing in selling anything is that you have to sell something of value and people have to appreciate it and enjoy it. And if you're not doing that, if you're squeezing money out of people, I don't want to be involved. There's nothing that we sell that isn't something that I use and enjoy and that I would recommend even if they didn't give me a nickel. Just like I recommend C2O coconut water, because it's this shit. All right, that's it. Cue the music. Everlast is here, ladies and gentlemen.
You.
We're going to get deep. We're going to break it down.
Joe Rogan Podcast.
For ourselves.
The Joe Rogan
and for
Experience.
Others.
Train by day, Joe
for
Rogan
for the Feminist
Podcast
Radical Association.
Of America. Esquire. Yeah, we were talking about feminism and feminists that are angry. It's such a cliche, you know? The angry feminist cliche is a funny one, you know? It's like every man shakes his head and goes, oh, Jesus, not one of those. You know, it's a strange designation.
It's going to be rough on Twitter for you, dog.
No.
We need to be humans. They're like Bieber fans, man.
Yeah, but they need to relax. We need to be humans, you know? I think people completely misunderstood. We had a podcast the other day, and, you know, I got a little shouty. It's a very important issue for me about the idea of censorship, and you know.
Yeah, I'm familiar. I know.
You know the whole story.
I know what happened. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know what's going
you
on.
Know the Tosh story. So for people who didn't know the Tosh story, Tosh, he said something to a woman in the crowd. You know, was just responding to like he was fucking around with the crowd. Said something like, "Wouldn't it be funny if she got raped by five people?" What it was, someone said, you should joke about rape. He goes on a rant about how rape, well, yeah, what's funny about rape and like all the things that aren't funny about rape. And she goes, actually, rape is never funny. So he goes, wouldn't it be funny if five guys raped her? It's funny. I'm sorry. Yeah. It's unfortunate. And that's not the best kind of comedy. You know, the best kind of comedy is there's no victims. Everybody gets out clean.
I want to do all rape jokes, one set. 15 minutes of rape jokes.
Well, look, rape is not funny, dude. It's just occasionally it's the right thing to say. You have to look at comedy as an equation. What's the 10 move there? I'll tell you what the 10 move is. The 10 move is, wouldn't it be funny if somebody raped her? Yeah. It's the KO punch.
I'm a musician, and I feel like you got to own your stage. A comedian has to do it in a whole different way. Like, literally, a comedian, if you're sensed weak, I mean, it's coming at you from all that. So if you don't make that joke, if you don't show it, okay, here it is.
Yeah.
Here's why I really don't want to do it, but fine, here it is. You know, the question of whether he had the right to or not is the stupid question.
Of course he did. It's in the environment of stand-up comedy. And somehow or another, everybody has gotten so goddamn oversensitive.
Wasn't like half of the jokes in Borat rape jokes?
Yeah, I'm sure, right? Well, as long as it's dudes getting raped, nobody cares. Dudes can get raped all day.
Yeah, you could say, I'm going to rape you to any guy, right?
Yeah, it's pretty much nothing. Yeah. I mean, it sucks if it happens, but...
You gave me permission.
But it is not the same, and we don't approach it the same, so we don't understand it the same. So I think what they're asking for, if I understand the other side's statement, is that they want a higher degree of sensitivity from people. And I say that they're not related. Because it's not about being sensitive. It's about someone saying something absolutely preposterous for humor. It's not about being sensitive. In that environment, in the environment of stand-up comedy, that's an art form. The only way to do it correctly is you got to go balls out. And what he did is he went balls out. He said, wouldn't it be funny if... You know why?
Isn't that kind of like the whole point of like that whole aristocrats joke? Like, is like, who can be the craziest, stupidest, most outrageous, like... ridiculous, dumb thing, who can go there?
That joke's a style of comedy. Yeah. I mean, the idea of that joke, that really complete raunchy, like we had Dice Clay on the podcast yesterday, that over the top, that's like a legitimate art form. And for what, if just because you don't like it, doesn't mean you should get so fucking shitty about other people practicing that art form. And when you step in and start saying things like a guy shouldn't have said this certain thing to one certain person in the heat of a moment, I think that's craziness. You know, I think that's just straight fucking nonsense. So all these people are getting upset at me, and they get the wrong impression. I'm for everybody being equal. I'm a humanist. I don't like women more than I like men, and I don't like men more than I like women. I like nice people.
I like women better than I like men, just for the record.
Do you?
Yeah.
There's a lot of them that are really pretty. Look, what I'm trying to say is we should be humanists. This idea of masculinists, that's fucking nonsense. Can you imagine if I started putting in my Twitter profile that I was a radical masculinist? Bitches would start attacking me. They would think it would be fine to start attacking me. They would just go, what do you have, a small penis? I'm sorry about your penis not working. Whatever it is, yeah. Find fucking something. Your insecurities, your fucking problems with your father. I'm not here to deal with you.
Yeah.
They would find some reason to be mad at you.
Joe, if you had to live with one person for the rest of your life, everyone else died except a female or a male, who would it, which one would it be?
It'd be a dude.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, Mom.
Wow.
I don't know, man. Other person in the whole world?
Yeah, you have to fucking be with one other person for the rest of your life. No other people in the whole entire world. Just a woman or a man. And this is either, you know, George Clooney or the top-of-the-line female, like
Angela it doesn't Lansbury. Matter. The top-of-the-line female. What matters is her personality.
Right.
For if you're going to deal with a lifelong proposition, the most important thing is that she's an easygoing person you can actually get along with. So that would be the ideal move, is someone who would, you know, be down for fucking...
You're supposed to get it forever. Joe, you're supposed to say your wife.
You're supposed to say that, but that's obvious. I think you would have to really decide how much sex you wanted for the rest of your life.
Yeah, I think that's pretty important.
That's what it's really all about. You only have one person. What
I'm gonna opt
you love
and
your
say
wife.
My wife.
Yeah, of course. You have to. You have to, but it's so obvious. It's so obvious you can't say it.
Right,
it's like one of those
it.
Well, I love my wife.
My wife.
The best one is what's his face? Groucho Marx had a talk show. I think it was You Bet Your Life. A guy came on and is, where are you from, Bob? And the guy's like, you know, Cincinnati. You have kids? And he's like, I've got six kids. And then Groucho Marx goes, wow. And he goes, well, I love my wife. Groucho goes, I love my cigar, but I take it out of my mouth every now and then.
Yeah.
For back then, that was... Like, no one could believe what he said. They're like, what the fuck? What did you just say? You went crazy. You went crazy.
Groucho.
He was a bad
motherfucker. Is that the show where the bird with the secret word?
Yes,
and all that?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, I've seen that.
Groucho was such a bad motherfucker. That dude was ahead of his time. That dude was way ahead of his time. Dudes did not get Groucho Marx. He had to tone it down for those fools.
Dude duct taped down his mustache his whole life.
That's so silly.
Kind of weird shit was that?
Yeah, Groucho Marx was the shit. He was a fucking smart dude, man. But the idea that the way that, you know, I think not joking about anything is silly. The idea that you could tell a comedian that he can't joke about anything, especially when you absolutely know that they didn't mean that. They absolutely don't mean that someone should get raped. That's not what they... Intent is supposed to be what language is conveying. That's all it's supposed to be. What is going on in my mind? You're pretending that you don't understand the subtleties of the conversation. You're playing stupid so that you can get angry. And I think that is fucking maddening. That shit drives me nuts. They know no one really wants anybody to get raped. So you're playing stupid. You're pretending that it really does mean that, and it's contributing to a whole culture of people believing that. Damn it, bitches. Settle the fuck down.
Calm down, Dan.
Dan?
Yeah.
Who's Dan?
This guy said I was going to rape at the beginning of the podcast.
See, why is that funny?
See, you didn't
That's
see
real funny.
Joe, at the beginning of the podcast, when I was on Audible, this thing came up in this chat room. He's like, hi, I'm Dan from Audible, here to help you. And
really?
And I started texting him, and I'm sorry for what I said.
What did you say to him, man?
I said I was going to rape him.
Did you really say that?
Yeah.
You did that while we were doing the podcast.
I feel bad because right when I did, I was like, man, I'm too stoned. That was a really bad idea. So, Dan, I did not mean it.
Yeah. What if Dan's listening, man? It's like, that guy's an asshole. Just made me feel uncomfortable. And then we got a really dumb argument whether or not rape is worse than murder. What's worse, rape or murder? The whole thing was so stupid.
What do you think is worse, rape or murder? Would you rather get raped or murdered?
The fuck out of here. The fuck out of here. It's such a stupid... who would win?
If you're raping me, I better already have been murdered. I'm looking at it like that.
Yeah, no shit, right?
Save the rape until after I've been murdered. There's, you know.
We got to die eventually. Maybe this is how we go.
I was raped, actually, just the other day, man. I had my recent physical.
Oh, sucks. Was it a ball or an ass?
It was horrible.
Isn't it weird that they have to dig in your body and see what you got going on there?
Let me check your prostate.
Let's see how freaky. What the fuck? See how freaky you're living.
Wait till you get, like, I think it's 60. My dad said that when you turn 60, you have to get a tube in your penis hole.
Hey. Oh.
And just to check your penis hole.
Hip-hop okay, remind me to check out before I'm 60.
Well, I think they want to check to see if it's all swollen and fucked up in there. That's why, like, a lot of dudes have to go to the bathroom every 15 minutes.
Yeah.
That shit ain't good.
Yeah. Can't be fun.
Fuck. Can't be fun. They say that you beat off, though, you could avoid a lot of that. A lot of dudes just quit beating off. They just tap out.
Who really? Are these people?
For real. Who are these people not beating off? By the way, that is not a scientific diagnosis. People are like, I hate when he spouts pseudoscience. I'm not saying that that's a fact, but that is what I read on the internet. I'm sure that was written. It was in a sentence. I absorbed it, and I said, all right, there you go. They believe that one way to stop prostate problems is masturbation, enlargement of the prostate.
There you go.
So dudes who beat off a lot, they don't have that problem with holding in their pee. So if you see a guy peeing all the time and keeps getting up, he's either doing coke.
Hey, man. Yeah. Dude, come on. It's either put the sneaky pouch away or go, you know, go jerk one off. You know? The sneaky pouch, man.
The sneaky pouch?
Just got to sneak off in with the sneaky pouch.
Is that a fleshlight? Is that what you call it, like a sneaky
pouch?
No,
a little pouch of cocaine. You
know
what I mean?
Sneaky pouch.
You take the homie's cocaine and you go to the bathroom and, you know, it comes back a little lighter than it went in. Now you have your own sneaky pouch.
Isn't that a weird thing when you ever been at a party and you know there's one dude who just has just enough coke for himself, so he's trying to sneak off and do it, but he doesn't want anybody knowing. And everybody's like, is this motherfucker on coke? Like, what's going on?
Oh, yeah.
Where's
they don't let you know, Joey Diaz gets so fucking mad if he finds out that you did I don't want to say his name, but someone did it to him at his apartment. And he was trying to pretend he wasn't doing coke. He goes, you're going in my fucking bathroom. You're coming out all geeked out. You're not offering me none. It's a weird thing when people want to sneak off and do their drug in quiet.
Yeah. That's when I knew it was bad news. Yeah. Luckily, I always had a little bit of that heart issue, too. So I never really got deep involved into any of it.
I never fucked with coke.
A few times when I was really young. And then it was like, oh, I got a problem. Okay, I'd probably be a good idea to stay away from coke and meth.
It seems like everybody that gets into it, though, really enjoys the shit out of it. You know, while I mean, it must be doing something really wild while it's happening, because they can't wait to do it again.
Yeah.
It's fucking terrible for you, though. I'll never forget this. I was on the highway headed back from Kelly's Roast Beef. I know I've told this story before, but I'm going to tell it again. And this is what I remember of cocaine. There was a car that was right next to us, and the dome light was on. And there's some people moving around the back seat. And as we're driving up to them, I look over, and it's a girl doing coke, and she looks at me, and she goes, fuck you! And that, to me, in my mind, was coke. It was coke.
That's funny.
Like, some girl is, like, screaming, fuck you, and sticking her finger at me. And I'm in the other car. I didn't say a word. I didn't respond. I just looked at her and went, wow, fuck that drug.
Man, last time I did coke, it was maybe 7 years ago, and the good part about coke is that it's just women love it. And so, like, I said to, like, one girl, like, oh, I got some coke. You want to go to the bathroom and do it? We were at this party, and she brought, like, seven of the hottest girls, and we just pretty much sat in the bathroom. These girls just, like, fucking, like, going to the bathroom in front of me we're doing coke with, like, these seven girls. And it was
what
just,
if they all started blowing you? Would that be the
that
would have
been the good
of
part
life?
Of it. Yeah, that would have been a good part of the story.
But then would you be sad that you did coke and then you couldn't get it up?
No, I've never had problem. The only, you know what? I said this the other day. I never had a problem with ever getting a boner on any kind of drug. That's a lie, actually. The one time I couldn't do it was on ecstasy, at the peak of ecstasy.
Now, do you have like a really small penis that just fires up at any moment because it just takes a lot to load it?
No.
Is that what it is?
No. It just takes one teardrop.
Do you remember?
Instantly hard from one
Do
little
you remember tooth. Those old John Holmes movies where homie couldn't get it up?
No.
You remember that?
No, I never
watched. Yeah, most of the John Holmes movies, he was always dealing with like a half rubber snake. Because his dick was huge. It took a lot to get his dick hard, and those guys were all on coke.
Right.
Like, if you talk to the people like that were doing porn back in the day, those guys were all gacked out of their mind, and they were trying to fuck on camera.
Right.
You know, and it's, if you watch like the old porn, like I did Dave Attell has a show, Dave's Old Porn.
Right, I've seen it.
And if you sit there and watch the old porn, a lot of times dude had hard-on problems. The dudes like, they would have all these hot chicks blowing him, sucking on his dick, and there was nothing happening. You're like, this must be, for that guy, the most frustrating video. Like, do you imagine if there was all this video of you where someone's just sucking your completely limp dick on camera with these hot, three hot chicks and there's lights and cameras and guys are standing there, and you just can't get up. Fuck. Fuck. Fuck.
Yeah, I couldn't do it in front of all those people. I think that would be the worst part, having just like the camera guys and stuff.
You
like
have
that.
To be a sociopath, maybe.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, that'd be rough.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can deal with it.
I thought one of the most fascinating chapters in porn was when Tara Patrick married that dude from the what band was that he was in?
Biohazard or something like that.
And then the dude started doing porn with her. I was like, wow. That's kind of a
shit. I'm in that. I'm in that book.
Are you in this book? Oh, what are you in?
She just talks about me.
Oh. Did you have a? Well, let's not go to all TMZ.
No, you know, read the book.
Okay.
You know,
it's a great book. Actually,
is it really?
Yeah, I read it. It's really good. It's interesting.
You really read a book?
I really did.
Get the fuck out of here.
That's the book you read.
Get the fuck out of here.
The book I read. That's why I can't remember ever last being in here.
Get the fuck out of here.
It's brief. It was right before who you're talking about.
Isn't it
Everlast's huge cock went right into my butt?
Do you think? Do you think that you could ever do that? You couldn't do that.
What?
Do you think you could do that? What that dude did?
No.
Just start doing porn with her?
No.
She's so ridiculously hot, though. Oh,
she is hot. And she, you know what? She's
was,
hotter
she was
now.
She was in
than
a video of mine, and we met, and you know, I would see her after midnight a bunch.
Wow.
And, you know, and that was about it.
I bet that's awesome.
She looks hotter now that she's had a baby, I think. Like, her body is insane now. Because she's got, like, just more curves or something. She's just amazing.
Dude,
her
she's hot as fuck. Amazing. She's hot as fuck.
Yeah.
Thumbs up to you, sir.
Son of a bitch.
You son of a bee.
A long time ago.
Hey, whatever. She's a nice person. I met her. She's very cool. But anyway, this dude just looked out and started doing porn with her. Like, that's kind of a nutty move, man. You know, hey, watch me fuck my wife. There's something creepy about that, right?
Yeah. Well, the story in the book is I was kind of fucking around with that broad.
Uh-huh.
You know, I guess she took it more serious than I did. My wife read the book.
Uh-oh.
So, she was like, everything you said is what she said. So.
Right.
You know,
well, that's good.
It was just basically, I mean, it was like, you know, booty call basically situation. But I guess on her end, it was not. You know, I was more than that or something.
You're a special dude, man.
I'm, you know, whatever. But, like, I get a call on a Sunday morning, and it's dude, Evan, who I'd known for years before that. Like, woke me up to, like, declare his love for her. And I was like, oh,
wow,
whatever. I hung up the phone, and I called him back because he woke me up. I was like, it's Sunday morning, 8 o'clock. I was like, you just call me. And, like, declare love for, like, for your porn girlfriend right now. I was like, it's corny as hell, dog. It's in the book, man. My wife read it. She told me everything I said is in there.
It's corny as hell.
I was like, that's pretty fucking corny, dude.
That is pretty corny.
You know?
That is pretty corny.
And that was the end of that.
Well, I guess, though, you would want to do that if, like, dude was your friend, you know?
Yeah, it was Sunday morning. I was more mad about you. You fucking woke me up on a Sunday morning? Come on.
The Lord's Day.
Yeah, when you fuck on camera, isn't it funny? Like, automatically, you become, like, if that's your choice, automatically, you become, like, you never, it's like a caste system in society. That's, like, that's a fuck up you never really get over. You always used to be a porn queen, you know?
My wife was a nude model, but she never did no triple X porn.
Yeah, it's once people watch you fuck, you can see your body. That's all well and no problems.
Yeah, I got no problem with it.
It's people watching people fuck is strange, and I've always tried to figure out why. It's real weird.
My thing would be mostly how you gonna. I couldn't wife nobody that like my if I had a son with, and 16 years later, when God knows you know how available all that shit is gonna be. It's so easy now to find porn. Well, hey, your kid shows up to you at 12 or whatever. Like, why are all my friends pointing at you know showing me pictures of my mom sucking dick? I mean, that'd be just too. I couldn't handle that.
Yeah, that would be hard to deal with for sure. But my real question is, it's really, why are we so weird about our bodies and sex when it's the thing that most people are looking forward to the most? At least most dudes are looking forward to more than anything. Most of the motivation of most men is to try to get the most amount of pussy possible, or the best pussy, or the best wife, the best girlfriend. They want to be a bad motherfucker in order to do well with that. That's a weird desire when you really stop and think about it, how much it consumes.
And then you get to be around 40 and you start thinking about other shit, you know?
Yeah, but what's crazy is that it's like...
Unless you got married at like 20 or something, those are the people that...
I'm really like, freak out when
that's why everything's falling apart in the middle of your life. You have too many questions that are unanswered. You know?
Yeah, they didn't sow their oats enough.
I answered, I'd say 99.9% of any questions I had on that, those levels, I answered.
Oh, yeah, but my question is, why is it so weird to watch people fuck? If everybody wants to fuck... Why is it so weird? It's so like, oh.
It's way weirder here than it is anywhere else in the world.
Yeah, it's totally.
That's all our hang-ups that we've been hammered in. That the whole like golden age of the 50s and the modern family and all that been hammered into our brains. And
yeah.
And like, you know, sex is dirty and rotten. And not rotten, but dirty and nasty and should be conducted behind closed doors and not talked about at all.
And only for fornication.
Yeah, no,
only,
yeah.
Only to
exactly.
create
you know,
children.
It's that old school, man. You know, we still come from the generation that really believe that.
Yeah, when they first landed here, I guess that's what fucked the whole thing up, is how many religious freaks made the journey because they were being religiously persecuted in England, which England is not nearly as religious on the whole as America is. So when the Puritans came here, I guess a lot of that shit stuck.
And they were hardcore, too. I mean, Puritans was the name because they were hardcore. On
what a bunch of nuts.
So-called living a puritanical lifestyle, you know?
Does that make sense? So that's why in 2012 we're still hung up? Is it really because of that? That it was formed by those people?
No, but then all this, you know, I'm sure there's been many people that have reinforced the psychology for their own benefits and, you know.
Yeah, I wonder, with all these cell phones now, by the time kids get to be like babies of today, get to be grown women and grown men, we're going to have like, there's going to be everybody. You're probably going to be able to access people's memories. You're probably going to be able to watch porn in some sort of a fucking three-dimensional virtual reality where goggles you put on and you live the scene. People are going to make their own, and you're going to be able to find people fucking. We're going to have real problems. There's going to be no privacy.
Yeah, it's getting there.
And when that comes,
I mean, I you know, I got my little Mac, you know, laptop. I keep a sticker over that camera, dog, whether I'm using it or not.
Do you?
I ain't fucking around, man. I believe that, yo, somebody could turn that motherfucker on and just start watching you.
And there's hundreds of hours of you being off.
Especially the cell phones and the microphone on your phone. I'm sure there's somebody could just sit there and be like, turn on camera, turn on microphone.
Oh, yeah.
What's going on right now?
That's crazy.
If they haven't done it yet.
Yeah.
They're probably going to do it.
I bet they have.
Yeah, probably. You just got a lot of me beaten off. That's all you got. Good luck with that, you creep. You want to release that, you creeper? It's just, we're so strange because we wear clothes, you know? I think we would have a totally different attitude if we were naked all the time.
Well, let's try it out. Come on, guys.
But it's just a weird thing how we've evolved. I mean, what kind of a fucking animal evolves to the point where you could barely exist in the world without being covered by something? Barely. If you just walk around naked everywhere, dude, you're going to get fucked up. Right? You're not going to make it through that. You're going to get sunburnt. Your skin is weak as shit. You're going to get bit by things. You'll get all infected and fucked up. It tears easy. You might bleed to death. We have to wear clothes.
What was that survival show recently where they had like the two guys that were survivalists, but they were kind of opposite spectrum dudes? Like one was a total fucking hippie dude. One was like a Marine guy.
Yeah, dual
and
survivor.
The hippie dude never wore shoes, like and he never, you know, he was, he only wore shorts and a tank top, and, you know, and like that's how he, you know, he did his thing. It was like, you know, I mean. I think you could adapt, readapt back to being able to live like that, but it wouldn't be no instantaneous move.
But it would suck.
It would suck bad.
It would suck hard. Yeah. There's no fun in looking for bugs to eat while you're walking barefoot in the jungle.
Yeah, man, your feet will start hurting quick, man, because shoes are nice.
It is nice that they would know how to survive if the shit hit the fan, but if the shit hit the fan, what are the odds of you living? What are the odds of you living? If the shit really hits the fan, I mean, you're talking about extinction events. You're talking about the real potential events. Things that have happened, unquestionably documented, all throughout history, where they've found super volcanoes and all sorts of fucking meteor impacts, and I mean, there's all these records of them they're discovering just now, like 12,000 years ago. They know there was a huge meteor shower that hit the world because there's impact glass exists on the same strata, like when they dig and make core samples. It exists in the same area all throughout the world about 12,000 years ago. So they got fucked up 12,000 years ago.
Right.
Giant fucking asteroids coming through the sky, millions of people dead probably. I think if that kind of shit happens, you're lucky if you get whacked. That's what I think. You want to be running around eating people's dogs? You want to be running around trying to purify people's sewage?
I trip on the fact that it wouldn't even take something that crazy. Just I keep telling people, let the lights go out.
Yeah, yeah.
let the power just shut down.
Yeah, absolutely.
Last time I was here, I think it happened. I was that might be it, man. Yeah. I might have to make a run for the guns right now, dog.
I have a whole joke about how little we know about the power, but how much we need it. I mean, it's so important. No one even thinks about the fact there's essentially a force of nature that pulses through your fucking house all day.
Oh, yeah. I was in New York City when that big East Coast blackout happened, man. Mm. That was like crazy, like tension because, you know, the whole city thought it was something, you know, the next wave of whatever was coming at them.
Oh, Jesus.
Because you don't get no news. You don't get, I mean, then I walked around New York, I remember, just because we knew. I remember what happened. I plugged something in my hotel room, something plugged in the wall. A few seconds later, the power went out. I was like, oh, did I overload my room or something? And then I go out in the hall, and it's out. Go downstairs, I realize the whole freaking city's out. We went to Times Square just to look at everything that was out. It was crazy, man.
Wow.
That would be crazy.
And then work let out. Like, the streets were just flooded with people. Jesus. But the funniest thing to me was, like, instantly, like, dudes were, like, outside of their little bodegas selling bottles of water for, like, three times what they cost. Like,
oh, wow.
Hey, $7 for a bottle of Evian here. Really? You know, like this, man. Oh, yeah, man. It was crazy. You know, and then there's the other half. Then you walk up the street and you see, like, the dude who's just directing traffic because nobody else is. You know, it was crazy, man. It was a wild day.
Yeah, some dudes look forward to shit like that so they could stand in the street and just tell cars where to go.
That's cool that people didn't go crazy, because that would be my fear, that everyone would just be like, ah.
Nah, it was a pretty,
that's,
you know,
more of an LA move.
It was a pretty, I mean, there was tension, like, what happened? What's going, everybody was asking, what happened? What's going on? Every once in a while, somebody's cell phone would work, but it, like, I remember thinking, like, that was the day I realized, like, you know, all that has to happen is the lights go out.
Yeah.
They were selling, and then you'd walk down the street to the deli that starts selling the food for like almost half off because it's spoiling.
The stuff that's in the
fridge. Like, anything in the fridge, come on, take it, please, you know.
Wow.
But yet charging $7 for water. You know what I mean?
The whole idea of cities is a
people's mentalities would break down quick, Joe.
Oh, yeah.
It would get tribal. It would get Lord of the Flies real quick. Real quick.
The only way cities work is if there's power on. Because if not, then it becomes a detriment. Then it becomes way too many people and no resources. You know, when you're in the country, at least you can go fishing. You know, you're in a city. Where are you going to get your food? What the fuck? Where's the food, man? There ain't no food coming in. And it's instant. It goes away. Because really, it needs to be like pushed in constantly. Mm-hmm. We got this weird, crazy anthill sort of a situation going. We need to fill that motherfucker up with something we can digest to keep moving.
Yeah.
Cities are strange. So if you were an alien...
And then what about when nobody's picking up the trash every day?
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
So you got both angles going on at the same time pretty soon. It's
nuts. Insane. I was there in Harlem when they had... there was some sort of a strike with the garbage men. So they didn't pick up for a long time, dude. And there was... And I'm not bullshitting... 7, 8, 9 foot high stacks of garbage bags on the street. So you would have a narrow area to walk, and to the left would be 9 foot high garbage for like a fucking half a block.
Yeah,
it was insane. I've seen that, yeah. And rats were everywhere. Oh, big, fat, juicy rats running everywhere. And you're like, whoa, people are living around this? Like, this is insane.
That's right underneath. That's all going on, pulsing underneath it the whole time.
Has that ever happened on the Upper East Side or the Upper West Side? Have they ever had like a garbage strike?
I've never even heard of that.
In the 70s or something, there was a citywide one that was pretty famous.
Is that what it is?
I think so.
I don't know when this was. I don't know what was causing them to not pick up the garbage. I don't know what it was, but it was somewhere in the 1990s, the early 90s, like maybe 90 or 91.
I vaguely remember something about it.
But it was crazy. I couldn't believe. I was like, what the fuck? You would want to get out of here as quick as possible if some shit went down. Like, this is the worst place to be.
It's crazy, man.
Why the fuck did it get like that, where everybody's stacked on top of each other? Just keep going straight up.
If you listen to the internets and the whole Illuminati's and all that, I mean, we're all in the perfect area for them to, like, you know, just wipe us all out, because we all live in... It's like nobody lives in the country anymore.
Right.
Rich people go to the country day.
I've never understood the whole...
Hey, all the rich people go to the country day. Hamptons day.
I've never understood the whole rich people wanting to wipe people out thing. I've always felt like if you were a rich person, you would need people to buy your stuff, whatever you're selling, whatever you need people for resources. Like, what are you doing? If you kill people, that seems to, like, where are you going to make your money? That doesn't seem to make any sense.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem like a good Illuminati.
I also saw a stat recently that was like, you know, how they say the world's overcrowded and whatnot, or overpopulated.
Mm-hmm.
And I could be tripping, but I'm pretty sure I saw a stat somewhere that said all the people in the world would fit in the state of Texas.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Like with elbow room, like, you know, we'd all be able to stand in the state of Texas, like all the people on the planet right now. I don't know how crazy that is, but I know I saw it somewhere.
Well, if you look at us and compare to any other animal, we've populated really every single part of the world. We figured out a way to not just get there.
No, but look at America, though. It's like really like... West Coast, a gang of people. East Coast, a whole gang of people. And in the middle, you know, come on, we tour for a living, dog. We know. I mean, I'm not saying there's not people, but
it's much more relaxed.
Yes, and it's a whole different kind of life.
Yeah,
it's like I've always found it like going 5 years backwards.
Right, right, right.
Like when you step out of the East or West Coast, just you know, not in a disrespectful way. I'm just saying it's like they're not as anxious and quick to be. On the, you know, it's like, no, we like what's going on. We'll slowly make moves on the things we like, kind
of
thing.
Denver is one of my favorite cities, because Denver is like part city and part country. It's part like mountain people. It's like a big community of mountain people.
Yeah, it's all the mountain people that got halfway and said, you know what, this is good enough.
We're good. We're good. We got some.
We got some mountains. Weed. We got some. Well, this is good, right
Bobby
here.
Bobby just killed an elk.
Yeah, we're good. Let's wait here.
Why are we fucking around? Do you see how many elk are out here?
Waiting for an ocean.
This is a good spot. I see mountains. Man.
I don't even see an ocean.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the ocean. I love looking at it, but it can't fuck with the mountains. The mountains are some crazy
really?
Shit.
Really? You take mountains before ocean?
All day, son. I'm ocean. All day. Have you ever been to Evergreen, Colorado?
No. With a mountains with a lake. Then yeah. You know,
well, no, that's different.
Lake,
like, I need
mountains with a lake.
Like, in the last few years, I played a couple festivals in Switzerland. One called the Montreux Jazz Festival is pretty famous, and then this other one called the Blue Balls Festival. It's hilarious, but it's in a place called Luzerne, man, and they're both on lakes with mount. It's the craziest.
I could do lake, and
I could live there easily. Yeah, yeah. Every time I'm there, I'm like, yo, I need some. Yeah. I need to be balling out of control with a private jet and some of them Swiss francs, man. And I need to be over in Switzerland doing it.
The problem is, man, to make that kind of money, unless you're an entertainer, someone's getting fucked over. Unless you're an entertainer or you're selling something really cool.
That's where everybody's hiding their money, too.
Yeah.
That's why they keep it pretty.
Yeah, hide it in the Cayman Islands.
They don't let you come in there and fuck around.
Joe, your old place, remember when I used to say it looked like a trapper keeper? You remember those things you would have in school that you put your notebooks in? You know,
right.
They would have like always like a beautiful picture of like a mountain and a scenic, you know, lake and stuff like that. That's what your house looked like. Like the perfect.
Oh, the Colorado place? Yeah, it was ridiculous. It's unbelievably beautiful. You'd look out the back window and you'd go, I can't believe they let me stay here. Like, this is crazy. Right. I can't believe people are allowed to be here. It was just too silly. You're in the mountains, like literally in the mountains. But you're around there with everything. You're seeing porcupines every day and deer all day.
All day. I was getting deer back here up in the hills.
Really?
Yeah, all day, up and down.
Yeah, Pasadena has bears, man. They had bears jumping into people's swimming pools recently. Yeah.
See, I always like to live somewhere because we were talking about craziness, man. I like to live places that have resources, like other than like, okay, well, if things went really bad, I can walk right out my backyard, march down that mountain, and go find me
a deer,
something, you know.
Well, I've always said Ted Nugent is living the best. You know what he does? He has a high fence place where he has like thousands of acres and they're all fenced in. And he's essentially got wild game running around his whole fucking giant ranch. And he just sets up stands. He's got like feeders so they know where the animals are going to come. And it's essentially shooting fish in a bucket.
Yeah.
And he has to shoot a certain amount of them just to manage it because it's got a certain amount of land. Like you have to monitor how many, you know, how many sheep you have, how many deer you have. But that is way healthier and way smarter than going to a fucking supermarket. I mean, he gets to see the animal before he shoots it. He does all the butchering himself. He makes the cuts of meat. He grows his vegetables. Like, this dude doesn't need shit. Like, that's really the way to go.
And he's got guns.
He's got guns, and he doesn't need shit. He can eat from his yard.
If the bullets run out, he got bows and arrows.
Yeah, he uses the bows and arrows more than he uses the guns. He's always bow hunting, man.
Ted, the Nuge.
Yeah, he's a crazy fuck when it comes to war. But I'll tell you what, when it comes to like living your life sustainably, that motherfucker's got it nailed. When it comes to his, he's right about hunting. Like, people are crazy to think that hunting is bad. Because you either want one of two things. You want either want hunting or you want to be hunted. Because that's the only way you keep the deer population down. You have one of two options. Either you're going to hunt the deer or you're going to put mountain lions out there that eat deer. And anything that eats deer can eat you, motherfucker.
Oh, yeah.
And eat you a lot easier than anything.
A while you'd hear about it back here, like
people
know,
that don't like want little hunting,
medium-sized dog getting snatched out of a backyard by a mountain lion.
Check out those Pasadena bears and
for the folks at home, these are not these are the gay bears.
Oh wow,
it's a term for gay dudes who are hairy who fuck each other.
Wow. It's like a lot of Bert Kreischers everywhere.
Pasadena bears. That is the Google search. It's really Bert if you did roids.
Right?
Like a hairy Bert. Well, you're pretty fucking hairy too, mister.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you'd make a good bear. If you got on the sauce and started doing some heavy squats, you would be a good bear.
Wow.
I would be.
So a bear and her cubs were drinking out of some lady's pool recently.
I saw that on the news.
Crazy, huh? Pasadena is only an hour, not even an hour, from Arrowhead. Arrowhead is,
it's right down there.
It's like 40 minutes away, 45 minutes away.
Something like that.
Which is legit wilderness. I mean, that is...
Well, I mean, there's Pasadena, and then there's Altadena, which is obviously the hills above Pasadena, and then beyond that is just wild mountains.
Wild mountains, yeah. And then
the minute you step, 2 miles from here, you're in the woods.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. Yeah, this is a different sort of area, Pasadena is, than the rest of L.A. They say that what Pasadena was in the 20s, and, they're making movies and shit.
Like a resort town. Altadena, up there, there was a railroad that went up to Altadena, and, all these rich folks had their little, sort of like Hampton, kind of thing going on up there.
What is the atmosphere like now? Because Pasadena, I know, Pasadena has more crime now than I think it's ever had before.
Altadena's like the Beverly Hills of Pasadena.
Is it really?
The crazy thing is there's always a lot of movies getting shot because none of the houses are the same. They're like Spanish style next to a colonial style next. So they can make it look like anywhere in America.
So it's all older houses from Hollywood people that made them? Like how did they get milked out here? Because what they were telling me was that Pasadena was where the studio producers and people would live. Where the actors would live in the Hollywood Hills.
Right.
That's how they
Altadena is what I'm talking about. And in the 20s, I believe it was, kind of that 20s and 30s, it was a little resort area.
Well, you could see some of those houses that are for sale online in Altadena. They've got some really old houses, turn of the century houses.
Yeah.
It's crazy shit, man.
It's a good area, man.
Yeah, I love the idea of animals living right next to animals.
Peacocks and deer.
Was it Altadena where the lady had the mountain lion sitting in her front driveway?
Probably.
And she was taking pictures of it? It might have been Altadena. I think it was. Yeah, it was really recently. If it wasn't Altadena, it was real close to that. With some ladies in her fucking driveway, and there's a mountain lion just lying there, just chilling.
Yeah, I think I saw that.
Just enjoying himself, just chilling.
I've been gone most of the summer, though.
Do you ever think about living anywhere else, any other part of the country?
I like Nashville.
Nashville's great.
I like Nashville's like, and you leave, you drive 10 minutes anywhere outside of like downtown and you're in the country.
Yeah.
Like you country. Are you're in the country. Country.
And it's
you can go out your back door and shoot, you know, shoot stuff.
Yeah.
You can shoot your guns. And, you know, like I went and sat with this one cat and was playing guitar with him one night again because he had a little, you know, that little something for me to, you know, partake of. So we were playing guitar together, and he was like, we can go outside and shoot some guns. And he was like, yeah, the guy, he was renting the place and told me it was for sale. And I was like, you know, how it was like 25 acres and like, a, you know, a house and all this, two barns. And I was like, how much? He was like, oh, like six. And I was like, and my brain was like $6 million. I was like, yeah, wow, $6 million. I was like, man, that's a pretty good price. He was like, nah, man, like $600,000. I was like, are you shitting me? I was like, yo, man, I might have to do that one day.
Just get an extra
just
house.
Grab me a get spot yourself. Out there. Grab a ranch, man.
Yeah, man, Jesus. For sure. You know what else is great? Asheville, North Carolina. You ever been up there?
I don't know if I've been particularly there. I've been to North Carolina many times.
I've only looked at it online, but apparently it's like this like really cool spot in the mountains where it's a small population, a lot of stoners, a lot of like musicians and like really cool people, and they're living in like one of the most picturesque parts of the world. Like those, like the mountains, like the Asheville, North Carolina, that
Asheville,
whole area.
I'm gonna have
look
to
at
check
it online.
It out.
Oh, yeah. Dude, it's ridiculous. Just lakes and trees and shit.
Same kind of property.
Yeah.
Values.
Oh yeah, man. It's sure Asheville itself. It's probably a little more expensive, but outside of it, man, you can get giant chunks of land, man. You can get just beautiful setups, houses on lakes and shit.
Can you shoot your guns outside?
Sure, if you have a certain amount of acreage. There's a show, Mountain Man, that I watch. One of the dudes is in North Carolina.
I haven't watched that, but I've seen the commercials
shit.
For it.
It's the shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, if you're interested in this subject, you know,
well,
the
my
idea.
Favorite show on TV is the one where they hunt the gators, swamp people. Swamp people. And a perfect example of why hunting should exist. If those guys didn't hunt the gators they hunted every year, gators would be eating a lot of children.
Yeah, well,
there'd be a lot more gators.
Wow, look at Asheville. That's insane.
Yeah, that's Asheville. I mean, come on,
shit.
Son. Are you kidding me?
Look at that water. Yeah.
It's paradise up there. It's fucking paradise.
Yeah.
I mean, I would have to see what it would be like.
See, man,
but I would think about living in a place
I need
like
to be
that.
We parlaying on them private jets and hanging out with them hedge fund type motherfuckers, man. You
gotta
know?
Get in time with the fatigues.
Any hedge
get
fund motherfuckers that
tips.
Need, you know, their bat mitzvah or bar mitzvah played. You know what I mean? I'm just trying to get down and be your homie. You know, I won't come at you too tough. I'll just throw some of that advice at me. You know what I mean? Help me get into the fast lane.
Get into the.
I'm stacking my chips, but it's slow grind. I'm looking for that hedge fund dude that like. I like Everlast. I want to smoke some dope with that. Where are you at? Holler. That's what I'm talking about.
You don't want that money, bro. you want the money that you're making. You don't want that hedge fund money. That money smells like blood.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know what? You can buy a lot of soap.
Soap.
Buy a lot of detergent.
You know what's really going to bum me out, man? It sounds crazy, but when they stop making real engines for cars... You know, a friend of mine had a Prius, and right. I know it's the future. I know it's progress. The thing makes no noise. It's electric. It's awesome on gas. Uses less resources. But goddamn, it was boring as he drove away. I was like, listen to what the fuck that sounds like. Yeah. Are we going to not enjoy driving anymore? Is it really going to get to that some point?
I think they're still always going to probably do it just for the, you know, there's going to be one company like Porsche is going to be like, we're always going to make a engine, you know.
I wonder if they'll be allowed to, because they're putting all sorts of crazy restrictions on them as far as like, you know, the future, like what they're gonna have to be able to do as far as emissions. That's why a lot of companies are forced to go to turbocharging, because the emission standards are so high. They're gonna lose the thrill of what an engine is like. Whenever you come over here, I get car envy. I love that fucking car you drive, that Audi.
Come on, dude, we could trade up for a week or something.
Trade up.
Dope car. Mm-hmm. You got to get a real clutch though, a real manual transmission, bro. Those little paddle shifters.
I love the paddle shifters. It's fun.
Not a car like that, son.
In Los Angeles, you can't fucking have.
If it's gonna be the only car you drive, absolutely.
You know, yeah, and I was that car was an impulse buy, man. It was. I went into the spot mad at BMW because like they had jacked up their price on the 7 Series and. I was mad. I was like, it went from like 80 to like 110 or something. I was just like, right. Man, that I was like, okay. And I was like, I was just going to go look at some other things. I looked at a bunch of other cars, looked at an Audi, and I looked at a Bentley, and I looked at all these other cars, and I was it was just weak sauce to me.
Right. Boring.
And then this was a row of dealers of all these cars. It's right here, actually. I won't mention them because they ain't paying me. But, you know, it's all these fun. But to get back out to where my car was, I had to walk back in through the Audi dealership, and that's when I saw that they had an all-white R8 in the corner. And I just went over looking at it like, wow, that's kind of sharp, you know. And kid came over and started talking to me, and he was like, yeah, I got a black-on-black one out back. You know, I was like, I know I'm not going to buy this car, but yeah, sure. Sure, show it to me, man. You know, show it to me. He's like, oh, you want to take it for a spin? And I was like, oh, I could drive it. He's like, no, I could take you for a spin, though. You know, I was like, oh, yeah, okay. I was like, well, whatever. Let's go. I got time to kill. He took me for a spin, took me up into back where the Rose Bowl is, and then pulled the car over and got out.
He tried to kiss you, didn't he?
No. I was worried, though, for a second because he pulled the car over, man. He pulled the car over. I was like, what are you doing, man? And then he got out the car, and he's like, yo, go ahead. You could drive the car. And I took it. That was the smartest thing he ever did because I took that car for like 15 minutes, just went nuts.
Did you ever have a car like that before?
Not like sport car like that. I was, yeah. You know, I mean, I had way back when like the 850 first came out for the BMW, I had that. And then I drove.
That can't fuck with what you got.
No. And then I drove I drove 7 Series for the rest of that time. I was really like, that's what I did. I'd always have a truck and I'd have my little BMW 7 Series.
Well, your car is a mid-engine car and that layout is the best layout as far as like handling feel and balance.
Yeah.
That's such a great balance
car. It's on rails, man.
Yeah. The engine is actually in front of the rear wheels.
Yeah.
So it just rides like a fucking dream.
It's fun.
It's a beautiful car. It's a spaceship.
I got the 8. I didn't get the 10 because that's the car they had right there, then. I said, give it to me. I want this car right now.
Realistically, you don't need that 10. And if you want, well, we were saying 8-cylinder over 10-cylinder, but if you wanted to, there's a company that puts a supercharger on the 8 and makes it more powerful than the V10. And it doesn't cost that much, and it's safe, and they know what the fuck they're doing. They've been doing it for a long time.
Like you're saying, the way it growls.
Yeah.
It's just
it sounds awesome.
Like that, man. It's nice.
The supercharger will add a little extra wine to it.
It keeps the little boy in me alive.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's fun, right?
I'm telling
you, I have a one of those Shelby GT500 Mustangs. You know what those are?
Oh, yeah.
It's one of the newer ones. And the sound of it alone, I swear to God, it just gives me a smile. It makes me smile when I hit the gas and I shift the gears just to hear that engine roar. I don't think anyone has ever like fully documented it, but I think there's like a physiological thing that happens when you hear like a strong engine. I think there's something happening to your body. It makes you actually feel good. You know,
it sounds like an animal growling.
Yeah. I think it probably produces testosterone or something like that. I feel like I've read that. You're laughing, right?
No, I could see it probably doing something like that. It's giving you
I remember the first night I had it, dog. I was just taking it out, and I was hitting corners doing 35, 45, like hitting
four-wheel
corners.
Four-wheel drive. Dude,
and I was like, not only that, there's a button you hit on it where the shocks fill up with fluid, so you don't even lean.
Magnetic suspension.
It's like, wow. It's like being on a friggin' roller coaster, man.
Is this the
It's called the Audi R8, and they have a V8 version, a V10 version. And actually, a lot of people think that the V10 doesn't handle as well because it's got a bigger engine and there's a little bit more rear weight bias.
Like a dream,
yeah, man. The engine in the V8 is smaller engine, and a lot of people actually enjoy that car more. But they started to put superchargers on them, so they jack it up to like 560 horsepower, and they're insane, insane.
Yeah, I chew up tires like crazy.
It's great. I love cars, man. I just love that someone invented it. Such a fucking, you know, you get in a good car.
And then took it to that level.
Yeah, it's amazing.
That's like a spaceship, man. When I saw it, I was like, man, that's a badass car.
There's cars now like the Shelby. Like a Shelby GT500, they have a new one that's out that's 660 horsepower. It's a fucking ridiculous thing to own. Nobody should be able to just go into a store and without proving that you know how to drive a goddamn race car, get a car stock off the shelf with a 660 plus horsepower engine. But you can go get it. You can go get it right now. And you hit that, and it's just exciting. You get little goosebumps. Even if you don't drive it fast, like you got a smile on your face while you're driving. Women will never understand that. They just want to look good. Just want to look good, hair in their car, and have a nice shiny clean car. Something.
I think they do understand it on just on a different level. But the ones who they want to be in that car, then they know they'd rather be in that car than the guy with the rusted up Tercel.
That's true. You know what I mean? But what I'm saying is, I think there's like especially muscle cars. There's something incredibly masculine about them. Something that I don't think a woman will ever completely tune into.
It's a beast. They sound like beasts. You're controlling a beast. You're harnessing 500 horses worth of power.
Yeah. This is ridiculous.
Yeah,
500
That's
horses.
That's what it's all about, man. That's why I say it keeps the little boy in me alive. He's playing with, I got fucking 400 horsepowers.
400 horsepower in an aluminum car with all-wheel drive. But rear-wheel drive characteristics, because it only ever gives 30% of the power to the rear wheels. So it just helps you in corners and shit like that.
You put that thing in sport and then put that shock thing on, it's crazy. It's amazing what they can do. It's crazy. It's fun. I mean, I won't lie.
Well, when you think about technology and you think about how much things have progressed, one of the best ways to look at it is cars. Because cars today, you get like they have cars that go 0 to 60 in less than 3 seconds. And that's normal. And you can get them at Nissan. Okay? That's insane. Yeah. A Nissan GTR is 0 to 60 in 2.7 or 2.8 seconds. That's mind-blowing. It's so hard to wrap your head around the fact that 1, 2, 3, you're going 60 fucking miles an hour. That's an insane car for a regular person to be able to buy. And they're making them better every year. Every year. It's faster. Every year. They got this Germany. They have this course called the Nürburgring. It's like the one that they benchmark a lot of performance cars on it because there's all these turns and twists. So it gives a real accurate representation of how fast you could drive with this car in the real world. And those motherfuckers go around it with insane speed. There's videos of them online. I'll watch them for hours on end. I'll watch like, here's a Ferrari 458 on the Nürburgring. And they show them to you from the cockpit. So it's like all of them around 7 minutes and 50 seconds, 740 seconds. So for 7 minutes, you're sitting in there with the YouTube on full screen going. And, you know, how could you not appreciate that? How could you not appreciate what someone has engineered? Something that hurls you around corners, like slightly sideways, controlling it. Oh. So wild to watch, man.
Yeah, I spent most of my summer in Europe, so every time we were on the Autobahn, I was, man, I wish I had my car here just to
stomp it.
Just to open it up. I've opened it up over the 210, that back stretch, over the mountains where there ain't much. Late at night, got it up to like 160-something.
Jesus Christ. The 210's a beautiful
place. I start getting real jittery, like the helicopter's going to see me or something. I'm going to turn into like a high-speed pursuit on the news, and so I back down.
Well, those days are on their way out, man, with the advent of drones. You're not going to be able to get away with that shit. They'll have drones in the night sky monitoring people's speed.
Here we go on you. You got your own video doing 160.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, man.
Yeah, you won't be able to fuck with it. I mean, there's no way. There's no way they're not going to have that locked down. If there really are going to be 30,000 drones in the sky in 10 years, that's what they said. Surveillance drones, these motherfuckers, they're going to cut back on all the fun.
Yeah. Well, that's when you move out the city, man. You know.
Oh, they're going to have it out there too, dude. They're going to have it everywhere.
But it's easier probably to notice.
Probably.
You know. Unless you're talking about these little mosquito microbot things that you see every once in a while pop up.
Yeah. Well, that's another thing that I heard that was really creepy about some cars. Some cars, they without you even knowing it, they keep a data log of how fast you've driven it. It's like they can go into it and they can like access it and they can find out like, what are you doing, asshole? You're going 150 fucking miles an hour? Were you on a track? Like, what are you doing here? Like, why are you going this fast? Like, they can find that out from, you can find out where you were from your GPS locations. It's like you're carrying a record of all your whereabouts.
Probably a little black box somewhere in that mug.
I'm sure there is. Yeah. Especially if you're...
I don't put anything past anyone, Doc.
Have you heard of this new thing that was released by WikiLeaks called Trapwire?
Uh-uh.
I'm having a dude come on, the guy who broke the story. He's coming on the 28th. I think it's the 28th. Anyway, what it is they've figured out a way to take all surveillance cameras from all over the country and work them through a centralized database where they literally store all of the information, like every movement that's happened in cities and in areas. They've got a complete massive database on everything that everyone's ever done. for like the last few years. Like they're starting to do it in these areas, and they're putting it in a centralized database without letting anybody know. And
wow,
it's crazy. I don't know but somehow or another they're all linked through, you know, Homeland Security or whatever the fuck it is. It's whatever organization is taking the feed from all these different places. But they're amassing a database of all of our activities all the time without anybody even knowing about it. And what's really crazy about that is that this is just this marks an ethic. All right, it marks, like, this is what they're thinking. They would like to monitor us all the time, so they're doing it as much as they can. Well, eventually the technology is going to be better. So as technology gets better, they're going to have shit everywhere. They're going to be able to look at you everywhere. That's what they do. That's what they do. You can't stop them.
Oh yeah.
How's that going to stop? Are we going to stop that?
It's going to make for a lot better those videos, like those hidden camera videos, like, look at this person, he fell down.
A lot more cat videos, because your cats do a lot of wacky shit while you're at work, and this way you can go back and review. Let's see what Skippy got into today. Oh, you little asshole, drinking out of the toilet again.
I heard there was a study recently where they put these cameras on cats, and they found out that cats they murder way more than they originally thought. Like, these cats just did nothing but like murder animals, squirrels, birds, insects, and they just are they go on killing sprees every time they go out of the house.
They're cats, man. Yeah. That's what cats do.
I've never been a cat, dude. I've always felt they were kind of
creepy,
dark.
Oh yeah,
I saw. See, for me, it was also one time I was many, many years ago. I was messing with some broad, and she had a cat, and I saw a cat go from the counter and jump up onto the top of the like shower door, which is like, you know. It's like jumping on a balance beam, but 12 feet above. If you were a gymnast, jumping 12 feet up and landing on a balance beam perfectly.
Yeah.
Wow. And that's when I was like, yo, I don't trust anything that could do that, man. That's
a ninja.
It was half magical.
That thing can fuck you up.
Like, I'm not talking about running and jumping, like standing there and springing up onto some shit. And I was like, no, that was some magical shit.
I have a wrought iron railing that curls on my staircase. And this wrought iron railing is only about 3 fingers wide, like maybe 3 of my fat fingers wide. My cat walks it. He walks it like a tightrope all the way up to the top. Yeah. Like it's nothing.
Like
it's nothing. Hey, he's there 12 feet above, you know, a hard, you know, stone floor. This motherfucker don't care. He's just chilling.
They got no fear, man. There's all kinds of old, like, you know, creepy tales about cats that used to like sit on the chests of children and suck their breath out.
Well, they lie on babies because they're warm.
Yeah.
And when they lie on babies, they smother them.
Yeah,
that's like, that shit's real.
But that, you know, they turned that into many a folk
tale. Ooh, but could you imagine if your fucking
waking up and your cat like
baby?
Smothered your kid?
Oh, it's so scary, man. That's so fucking
They're too
scary.
Smart. That's why I don't. I mean, cats are just too damn smart.
They're creepy.
Cats are robots. We just don't know it yet.
And totally, like, really don't give a shit about you
no.
unless they want something from you.
Yeah, they want to be pet all the time. They want constant massages.
Or fuck you.
Yeah. It's funny. Eddie Bravo is just starting to realize his cats are cunts now that he has a kid. He loves his son so much. I mean, I tell him, you know, he's talking to me about how much he loves his bunny, how much he loves his cats. I'm like, yeah, that's all nice and good. Wait till you see little man. Wait till you have a son, dude. You're ready to kill those cats with a hammer. Trust me. Obviously, I was joking around. I have cats. I love my cats. They're creepy, but I love them. But, man, now he's like, these fucking cats, they make noise when the kid's asleep on purpose. They're trying to wake him up. I try to keep them out of the room, so they go in there and knock shit over. They'll knock shit over and run around the, you know, the hallway. They're like, they're fucking with him, and he's realizing it. He's like, oh my god, I'm living with a bunch of cunts.
Yeah, cats are crazy, man.
Jealous little twats.
I would get a cat like if I lived like in the hills or something, and I had, you know, so I keep a cat, like an indoor cat.
Those are bad. Those are bad news.
For you know, the sake of, you know, keeping off any, you know, rodents and whatnot.
You shouldn't fuck with outdoor indoor cats for the simple reason of parasites.
Outdoor cats. I'll give them a little.
All
dish.
Outdoor or all indoor,
but I would have them if they served
scary.
A purpose, like as just strictly a pet. For me, I'm a dog guy. I've always been a dog guy.
Well, you know, feral cats. People traditionally had them on farms in order to semi-feral, just to keep the rat population down. Because whenever you have a farm, you're gonna have a lot of rodents. But that cat parasite shit is no joke, man. A lot of people have real problems in their life because of this cat parasite. And it's affected a massive amount of Europe, massive amount of South America.
I'm not even hip.
It's all toxoplasma. It's they're just discovering it within the last few years. And one of the things that they're discovering is that it leads to a disproportionate amount of motorcycle victims. So they think it affects your judgment. And it also, they said, there's a lot of soccer teams, like really successful soccer teams, come from countries where they test high with high levels of toxoplasma because it makes you reckless. It makes men, so apparently it makes them more aggressive and may perhaps even generate more testosterone. But essentially it's a fucking parasite that you get from cats. And it completely rewires the way your thinking is. Like they've wow. there's an article that's written online. It's a fascinating article by a neurosurgeon who has it, and he knew that something was wrong. It's totally incurable. When you have it, you can live with it, but it affects your judgment. And it comes from fucking cats, and it's creepy. It's a behavioral changer. So cats get it from rats, and rats. What happens is the rat gets it, and when the rat gets it, the rat gets sexually attracted to the smell of cat piss.
So it surrenders itself basically to cats.
Runs
dude.
Right to the hole.
That's some old like M. Night Shyamalan shit or something, dog.
It is.
Dog.
And it's real. I mean, that's crazy, man. Really scary. That is like M. Night Shyamalan.
And we all sit around thinking about, you know, how arrogantly we're going to ruin or kill or take over the world or anything. All it takes is one cat parasite, dude, and we're all screwed, man. You know what I mean? The wrong one, and we're... Let that aerosolize.
Well, they say that
and then 50, sneeze on a plane.
50 million people are affected by it in this country alone.
Crazy.
50 million. In Brazil, it's like 60%. In parts of France, at one point in time, it was as high as 80%. Now it's down to the 50s. But 50%, that's half the fucking people, have this cat parasite. Half of them. That changes your behavior.
Wow.
It's fucking nuts. There's a guy named Sapolsky. I got to get him on this podcast. I have to talk to him about this if he ever has free time. But he's a professor, and he specializes in it. And
that's crazy.
And he's the one who he has a great video.
Sapolsky. Toxoplasma?
Toxoplasma Gandhi. Toxoplasmosis Gandhi, I think, is the actual name of it.
Check that out, man.
It's fucking terrifying, man. That's why outdoor cats can go fuck themselves. You know, you got to get keep away from those creepy bitches. They might get you with their dirty shit.
In general. Not like cats, man. Yeah. And I'm a Leo.
But isn't that weird? What a crazy.
That's cool. We're all Leos here.
Yeah, and we're all getting along. Isn't it crazy that you could figure out a way to wire an animal's dick so it gets hard when it smells the cat piss, the piss of its murderer?
Mm-hmm.
Could you imagine?
That's some devious.
That's the most devious shit ever.
That's physically and spiritually. Just devious, man. That's Freddy Krueger nightmare shit right there.
It's
that somebody could just spit on you or transfer a fluid or breathe on you, and all of a sudden now there are agents at work within your body to make you behave differently so as to the killing of you by that person would be made much easier.
Wow.
That's awesome.
And a whole species, like cats. You're going near cats. Like, what the fuck? Cats? The one thing that wants to kill you all the time. And nature's like, yep, 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 yep. That's where we want to go next. Cats, go over there, please.
You smell that?
I mean, it's almost...
That smells like cats.
It's almost impossible to imagine that wasn't engineered. It makes you stop and go, who the fuck is working behind the curtain here? That seems engineered. That seems like... If you wanted to point to some sort of intelligent design of the universe, I think things like that are compelling topics. Not necessarily evidence, but compelling topics when it comes to the debate of there being some sort of intelligence to this whole thing. What the fuck? I mean, how does it randomly happen?
It'd be like if we could go scratch a chicken and a week later it's at our doorstep cooked, like waiting for us to eat it.
Yeah, we just throw some powder out there in the field. And
it just had the urge to throw itself on a roasting grill and feed itself to it.
With a hard dick wandering with their stupid black rat eyes, dead eyes, looking for cat piss with a heart on. What That's the crazy. Fuck kind of world is this?
Joe, would this happen? Look at the TV.
Oh, yeah, that's like a cat. How many videos are there of those of cats doing hilarious shit with their bodies? You can watch those. My daughter watches those for hours.
Cats might be aliens, dude.
They might be.
I think they're robots. I think they're technology.
I just think they're super killers. I think that nature needs cleanup. And in order to make sure that the limping fucks don't make it, there's cats. That's really what it is. And they're there. The little ones.
What the fuck was that? See, That's what I'm saying. That looks like the devil picked it up and walked it away.
That cat just got up on two legs and walked out. It's the most. What's the name of that? Just so people can see it.
Cat walking on. Oh, Thriller Cat.
Thriller Cat. Dot dot dot. Wait for it. Thriller Cat. Wait for it. Oh, it's so silly.
God, I love that.
Though they're nature's cleanup, man. They're there to make sure that that it's tough to live.
And who's like when somebody domesticated a cat, who decided that having it shit and piss in a box was a great idea?
It's the only way to keep it in the house. If you're going to keep them in the house, they have to have a place to shit.
Dana Dierman has it go in the toilet. And it,
like, really?
Yeah. She has those bald cats where they're all shaved, and she's trained it to just use the toilet.
I guess that's right. If you're not letting it out of the house, it does make sense.
Could you imagine the things that her cat has seen?
Oh, God.
No wonder why the cat goes in the toilet. The cat is traumatized. Doesn't even know it's a cat. Cat thinks it's a person that can't talk. Doesn't know what the fuck is up.
Shit.
Yeah, it's weird having an animal shitting in your house. It's gross. It's fucking nasty. I'm not down with it anymore. That was always a turn off
to me. Like if I would show up at some chick's house or something, and I would smell that smell.
Oh,
like,
it's awful.
Oh, there's a litter box in his house.
It's gross, especially if you're lazy. You don't clean the piss out, and you walk in the house, and you have that ammonia smell. Like what?
That's
seriously?
So dangerous for you. Like I was watching Animal Hoarders on Netflix, which is one of the worst fucking TV shows in the whole entire world. I don't know if you've ever watched it. There was even one guy that had like over like 10,000 rats. Like his wife died, and then he bought a rat to for some reason because she liked rats. And then just thousands and thousands of rats. But one thing is the ammonia. There was this guy that owned, I think, 90 cats in a one-bedroom or something like that. And the ammonia was so bad. Like the toxic level was something like crazy, like 12%. He had it like 90%. Like his air quality was just all ammonia.
Wow.
That's crazy.
That's crazy.
I watch Hoarders sometimes with the wifey, man. Every once in a while, somebody will have so much stuff, they'll put like a flattened, like dead cat.
Oh, yeah. Wait till you watch Animal Hoarders. It will freak you out. They find dead cats all the time.
Isn't that weird that a lot of people do that? They just start storing animals in their house? Yeah. They need more animals?
Or just even junk.
Yeah, junk.
Hoarders
books.
Is a crazy. That's
can't like, throw out old newspapers. I mean,
once like my table gets too cluttered, I start some of this shit got to get thrown out, man. This is
I just
out.
Refreshed myself by got rid of all the magazines in my office. I had like a stack of magazines, maybe.
You got to let go of some stuff.
It was like maybe 200 magazines.
I've been good at that though. Dude. I don't even have a lot of my own memorabilia and things like that because I give everything away and I.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, I wind up giving. You know,
it'll impact them more than it impact you. Yeah. You know, to have some real memorabilia in your house.
You know, it's just things.
Right.
You know, sooner or later. I've had it all, lost it all, had it all, lost it all a couple times. So it's like I'm real attached to like not being attached.
Well, that is the
things.
Best. That's the best story. The had it all, lost it all, got it back story is the best story.
Yeah.
People love that. They love people that fuck up. I do. I love people that, because I know that's what I do. I love people that can figure things out or that get through adversity or that go over a hump or that get thrown a curveball and they figure out how to hit it next time.
Yeah,
you know it's, that's gotta, it's they're the most interesting
gotta
people.
Get up the next day. You know, it's still going to be, I remember like in the middle of my troubles happened because of, I had to, I quit House of Pain. I was doing a record my label didn't even believe in, the whole Whitey Ford record.
Yeah, we went over that.
And I'd given up, like, I had the tax, my accountant ripped me off for some taxes, money, and I canceled my insurance. So it was like the perfect storm of like, here's the perfect time for your heart thing to happen to you right now.
Well, it's a perfect movie, though.
You know.
And then the bounce back.
Well, the bounce back was kind of luck. You
that
know?
Put I mean, your lights on. Yeah. That was not luck, dude. That song is tremendous, man.
Yeah, you know. Well, that's that was a result of, like I said,
that song with you and
coming
Santana.
Out the hospital.
That's you and Santana.
So, well, I wrote the song and
dude,
and
play a little bit of that again
put it on his album.
Put a little bit of that on.
But
God damn, that's a good song, dude. Oh, that song had some real feeling in it, man. There was a lot going on in that song.
Yeah, but I remember like my accountants, they was telling me to file for bankruptcy and all this, and I was like, you know what, I ain't gonna do it. I ain't gonna do it because I hate. You know, what I mean, God forbid I ever really had to do it. But I was like, I pay my debts is the way I look at it. I just like, I got screwed over by this guy. I'm not gonna tell 10 people over here I owe money to. Screw you, because.
Right.
Because I got screwed. I don't play that game. You know what I mean?
Yeah, bankruptcy is kind of a tricky little situation, huh?
I just remember the day I got the call from my accountant that said, my new accountant that was, that I broke even, like that everything was paid. All my debts, my medical bills, everything was paid. And, you know, now you can start putting some money back in the bank. It took like a year.
Wow.
Some people, it takes their whole life, you know?
Yeah, people can hit a spiral, man.
Yeah. Put your lights on. Put your lights on. Hey now.
All your lovers. Put your lights on. Who is cooler than Carlos Santana? Has anybody ever lived that's cooler than that guy? He's undeniable.
I don't know. That guy right there is pretty fucking cool.
You're pretty cool, too. I mean, don't get me wrong. But come on, man. Carlos Santana. What was it like working with him, man?
It was cool. It was like... I had written that song. We've gone over the story a little bit last time. I had written that song, and I had it. But, like, Whitey Four Sings Blues was done. And... I was doing Saturday Night Live. I don't know if we talked about that part. I was actually, you know, which was one of my, like, bucket list things, you know, playing Saturday Night Live. Right. Growing up as a kid, that's where I learned about a lot of music. So I'm playing Saturday Night Live. We're doing like the day before rehearsal or something, and somebody comes in the room and is like, yo, Carlos Santana's in the building. He's looking for you. And I was like, get the fuck out of here, kind of. Shut up. And, like, literally, like, 30 seconds later, Carlos Santana walks in the room.
Wow. Wow.
And the guy who produced that song with me, Dante Ross, had taken the liberty. He heard they were looking for songs. He took the liberty of sending them the song. And Santana fell in love with the song. It was,
wow.
The way I understand it and the way the story's told to me is it was the first song chosen for that whole project. So, you know, it was cool. It was an honor. You know, I was like, I got this song and I was going to save it for my second record. But it was like, you know, that just seemed like an opportunity that, you know, I should take.
Fuck yeah, man. To be right next to Carlos motherfucking Santana.
And he was adamantly, I'm not going to say the word beg because it implies like some kind of,
but
you know.
He really wanted to be involved.
He wanted that song for his record. He was like, yo, I want this song for my record. And, it was almost like, I can't take no for an answer. How do I, you know, he was basically letting me know. He was being real cool about letting me know how much he wanted that song. And then you're like, you're buttered up by Santana. So it's like, yeah, all right, we could do this.
Carlos Santana, who has, like, made it through better than that guy? He's made it through better than any of them. If you think about all the people from his era and generation, they're all dead. And he's still relevant.
Yeah, he's managed to stick around.
Fuck yeah, stick around and still blow it out, man. His music is
now
still...
Now he's married to the Cindy Blackman that... remember that drummer used to be in Lenny Kravitz's band, chick with the big fro?
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's his wife.
Oh, wow.
Oh, really?
I think she's been drumming with him, too. I think she plays for him.
Wow. Yeah, very few people have, like, hit that cool level, like that Carlos Santana level. Like, if you don't like Carlos Santana, something's fucking wrong with you, man. You got your own problems, you know? It's not Carlos, for sure. You know what I mean? He didn't do nothing to you, dude. He's just out there playing guitar. Shut the fuck up. So what do you want to play us, man?
Oh, I don't know. I figured I had to bring the guitar because I do look at the Twitter.
Oh, dude. If you don't play,
yeah,
people would go
I didn't
crazy.
Bring the guitar now I'm an ass.
We love talking to you, man.
But
we love talking to you plus your music even more.
I can't even remember. You know, I come here and we talk about like 90 different things, and I leave and I'm like, what did I even say on that show, man? I don't even know what I said.
Yeah, well, welcome to us too.
Is there any more joint left?
Yeah, there's more.
Let's just play something off the new record. Cocaine pain, I got a Vicodin itch, I got shit for brains, got a hard luck woman, got a few good friends, got a couple nice hustles that'll get you some ends, got an old man's soul, got a heart of gold, got a brand new shovel, dig me out of this hole, got a whole lot of nothing, I'm ready to give, I need a whole lot of loving, girl, I'm eager to live, it go one for money, two for show, got a one trick pony, you can ride her slow, cause she's good to go. When I'm gone for good, I'll be unappreciated and misunderstood. Got a brand new bag, got a brand new style, got a brand new baby.
Every girl that makes me smile got a pocket full of money, got a payday swagger, got a 45 pistol and a switchblade dagger, and I'm holding on with all I got. I see the world keep turning and fires keep burning it down. We're out holding on with all we got. They're trying to poison all the water, make porn stars from daughters in town. And you better wake up, you ought to stop messing around. Quit pretending like the motherfucking walls ain't tumbling down. I got a one-track mind, got a double standard. I got a woman so fine, and that's the way that I planned it. Got a part-time job, got a full-time hobby. I get drunk at the bar, fall asleep in the lobby. From leave for the show, you don't have to worry. I just live for the day, so I ain't in no hurry. My vision is blurry, my head has been throbbing. I got to fighting with the wifey, she hung up on me sobbing. Got a hole in my heart, got the guiltiest feeling. Got a bottle of the Jameson, that's how I keep dealing. Got a pill for the pain, got some trees for the blowing. Got 25,000 more miles to be going. I got no way of knowing, got no way of telling. Ain't nobody on my side, and I got none I'm selling. Got the clothes on my back, got the sound that I'm singing. Got the love in my heart, and the drama I'm bringing in. Oh, holding on with all I got. Fires keep burning it down. We're out holding on with all we got. They're trying to poison all the water, make porn stars from daughters in town. And you better wake up, you ought to stop messing around. And quit pretending like the motherfucking walls ain't tumbling down.
Dude, that was
fucking awesome.
That was beautiful.
Figured I'd say something that made sense today. You know what I mean?
It's one of my favorite songs on
here. That's fucking badass, man. You know, your stuff has such an everlasting feel to it now. Like, you really nailed your sound. You know, like, nobody else could have played that song. Like, if I heard that song, I would say, well, that's an Everlast song. That's an Everlast song. It sounds like an Everlast song.
Yeah, it makes it hard to write for other folks. I write songs and it's like, I got to keep that.
Yeah, you can't.
It's mine.
You got to write for yourself, man. It's too, you know, you have this unique blend of having had all these life experiences and health problems and being fucked over and being up and down. And, man, it just comes out in your music. God damn, it comes out good.
Thank you, man.
That is a badass fucking song.
I'll say like this, man. Since coming here and doing this, it did two things. It made a lot of people aware of like me playing acoustically, and it also freed me up. Like I've been doing a lot of shows like this now.
That's beautiful to hear.
It's fun.
Happier, man.
It's been fun.
I really appreciate that sound. I think there's something real intimate about an acoustic set that I don't want to say it's better, but it's different. You know,
for me, it's great because everything starts that way. I sit in a room with, you know, this and maybe a drum machine. Maybe I'll come up with a beat and a guitar line, but most of the time it's an acoustic guitar and me.
That's all you need, man. Some of the greatest songs ever.
And when the lights go out, I'll still be able to do it.
That's right.
Exactly. Yeah. No, it's beautiful, man. It's beautiful. I got to say to Dana DiArmo, I was listening to her. She think I was talking shit about her. We're just joking about what kind of crazy shit your cats must have seen. We like you, baby. We're friends. We're buddies. We love you. We're not talking shit about you. Don't get oversensitive.
That's right, Dan.
Isn't this like a comedy-based podcast? I mean, everybody should like that.
Yeah, but people don't like being talked shit about, and she's just sensitive, and she's been on our show a bunch of times. I just wanted to know, even if I make fun, it's always with love, baby.
Yeah, man.
Always
you can make fun of me anytime,
thank
Joe.
You, sir.
All right.
You're too cool, man. It's really tough to find an angle without coming off looking like a dick. You know, when someone's as nice as you.
Edges have been worn off, man, by this point. You know, in my 20s, I was a just raging asshole.
Well, I remember meeting you, you know, whatever many years ago it was, and I was right away, you seemed like just a normal dude, you know. And it's a weird thing when you listen to someone's music and you've known him for so many years, like, I knew who you were when I was barely getting by, you know, when you were playing in my car. I was driving around, jump up, and get down. Right. You're in my car. And shit, when you know, I was in my
we're about to actually release a 20th anniversary.
Really?
That. Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That's awesome!
With a bunch of remixes and
acoustic versions.
But you are one of those. Yeah,
that's right. Just not gonna happen because like, actually, the funny thing is, I was just doing an acoustic show, and it's like this dude started saying jump, and I was like, I laughed it off at first, right. And then like I realized he was serious. I was like, dude, it ain't happening. It's,
yeah, but you know, Dynamite Hack, their version of Gin and Juice, right? That would be kind of cool if you could do
that
it.
Song,
right?
Let me tell you something, man.
It'd be cool if somebody else did that. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like
Jump Around is so goddamn good that I think it's almost like a disservice if you don't do it. Even if you don't, even if you got to bring out more equipment, Jump Around is like you can't follow.
There is
that.
No more equipment when I show up for one of these shows. It's me and this, and at most my buddy or another guy on acoustic guitar.
It's one of my favorite parts about Marcus Davis is a dude who fought in the UFC. Yeah. Who would always come out to Jump Around.
Yes,
those
sir.
When those bagpipes go off in the beginning, oh, goddamn, that was a good jam.
It stays in.
Fuck yeah!
Downloads, like I'm amazed. They're like,
oh yeah, fuck yeah! That's one of the all time greatest workout songs ever, you know, ever. If you're lifting weights and you listen to that song, that you get an extra rep.
It's paying for that car outside.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure.
That's why you need to make an acoustic version.
Jump up and get down. No, yeah,
for vegans.
For vegans who occasionally eat eggs, that they find. Vegans aren't even allowed to eat eggs, right?
I don't think so.
No. Isn't that crazy?
That's an embryo.
But it's not. It's only an embryo if it's been fertilized. Okay. I used to think it was. I used to think that every egg could become a chicken.
Well, it's a potential embryo.
Not even. They lay them every day. They lay them
every
day.
I eat the shit out of them. I ain't arguing with you.
Oh, I know
you. I'm just saying.
But I didn't know that it comes out. Like, when it comes out, there's no way it could ever be a baby. Like, it is just an egg, and it's done. Like, even though she laid this egg, that is a useless egg. It will never be a baby chick.
So when is it regular chicks, then?
It has to be fertilized. So they have one every day. And when a male chicken comes in and lays some dick to her, right. Then there's a baby in that egg.
Okay.
But until the male chicken does that, she's just laying duds.
So there's no
then
males
then you come
around.
Along and eat the duds.
So there's no males around, then it's guaranteed.
Just fucking
no
dud
babies.
City. Dud city. Yeah, and you separate them anyway, because otherwise they peck each other's fucking eyes out. Those cunty little animals.
Wow.
Wow. What's a chicken look taste like that's been fertilized? Is it even better? Is there a name for it, like deluxe egg?
No. Well, it's called balut in the Philippines. We used to serve it on Fear Factor, and it was funny because my Filipino friends...
What, like a halfway baked chicklet?
It's like a duck embryo, and it's cooked. It's a half cooked. Well, it's not like solid cooked, like... But it's still like gooey inside. But I mean, they're eating the bones. I mean, you can see the little duck. I mean, we served people this. But my Filipino friends are like, oh, that's balut. That's my favorite. Why don't you get me on your fucking
crazy?
Show, Joe Rogan?
Isn't that crazy? The funny part would have been if like just randomly that happened where one guy was on the show. He's like, oh, my grandma used to make that all the time.
Yeah. we would know.
Oh, horse penis? Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. We would never serve a Filipino person balut. But we served it to a lot of other people. It's hilarious. Like the thing called 100-year-old eggs. But it's not really 100 years old, but it's a fermented egg. They dig a hole and they put them in the ground for like weeks or months or some shit like that.
Ugh.
The eggs turn black and they have like a jelly, sort of a weird texture to them. They're fucking disgusting. But people pay money for them. Like it's an expensive delicacy somewhere.
Yeah.
Ugh.
That's what I call tampons that girls forget about. You know, sometimes they push like a tampon in too far. I call it a balut pon. It's like some girls are like, I had it in me for 4 days and started to smell and rot.
What?
And I'm like, that's a fucking
girls are you hanging out with? You got to clean these girls up, man. These girls are lost. They just leave it. Yeah. They've given up on
four
life.
4 days? You forgot something was inside you for 4 days?
I was dating this girl a long time ago, and I was fingering her, and I pulled out a piece of her tampon that she didn't know was in there.
Right.
And she totally freaked
out. It happens
out.
A lot, I
guess. She was so embarrassed. She was so embarrassed. She's like, I'm so embarrassed. I'm like, why would you be embarrassed? I'm like, you know you have to put stuff in there, so something got stuck and you didn't know. Why is that embarrassing? I don't understand why that's embarrassing.
Not everybody's as evolved as you, Joe.
Well, I was only 21. I wasn't that evolved back then.
Well,
you sounded pretty evolved, if that's how you reacted. At 20, I might have been like, what the fuck is this? What the fuck is this?
Where'd this come from?
Well, I don't know, baby. I thought I cleaned it good for you, baby. I thought you cleaned it good
just because,
for me.
Like, at 21, you're like, what the fuck? What the heck? I mean, I probably would have been a little weirded out by
it. Really?
That. Yeah. Was it just clean, or was it like,
yeah,
bloody?
She had pulled it out. No, it was clean. She had apparently pulled it out and left a piece of it in there. Broke off, which is really dangerous for women.
Yeah, toxic shock. And yeah, all that kind of stuff.
I don't know what
the
fuck that. I guess it's like
it's bad. Whatever it is, it's day. That's 4 days of leaving a tampon up in you.
You got to think.
That's what's gonna get you that,
Brian. How dare you
tell your friend?
Who are you hanging out with, Brian?
Word.
Fuck is wrong with
all them
people
junior
in
high
life,
school
man.
Girls.
All right, look, it was Dana Dierman. It was just Dana Dierman.
Poor Dana.
Just kidding.
We're talking
wasn't
shit
Dana
about Dierman. Dana's a really nice person. I don't care what she does for a living. She's always been a very pleasant person to be around.
I know.
You know, people say like, oh, you're just trying to fuck her. No one's trying to fuck her. We're all friends with her.
No,
she's a nice person.
Great person.
She's a really nice person. And she's funny. She's a funny chick.
I love her.
So she likes doing gangbangs. Whatevs.
I missed doing a podcast with her.
That ain't my life. Why don't you guys do a podcast anymore?
We're just so horrible. Like, we'll be like, hey, let's do one today. And like, okay, who should we have on? And then we both just space out. And we're just really bad. We work weird together. We're very spacey, both of us.
You just shut each other off. You cancel each other off. Yeah, well, you're doing too much anyway, man. You're all fucking stressed out. You got to chill out.
I've chilled out a lot.
Listen to some Everlast music, bitch.
I have. Actually, I've listened to his album more than I think any CD I've ever had, ever. Because it's always in my car, and it's always a go-to CD, because it's good. There's a lot of good songs on it. I'm not just blowing smoke up your ass. I'm being honest.
Thank you,
sir. No, it's beautiful, man. What else you got for us?
I got one here. I'll play. It's off my last album, which actually I started this thing last week, and I might have approached it wrong, because I was kind of angry when I did. Sony ATV Music Group. Or something on Twitter. You can find it on my timeline. These guys, like, I have an album that I put out in 2008 that's not on iTunes for nobody knows the reason why. Nobody, and it's like, I'm trying to get these dudes' attention right now to, you know, put this album up. It's called Love War and the Ghost of Whitey Ford. It's like, I did an independent, like deal with one of these publishing people, and it's been kind of like.
How come it's not up?
We got to push them to get this up.
Exactly.
Yeah, there's a lot of shit.
It's also the album that has my Folsom Prison cover on it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's purely a red. It's not even red tape. It's like just motherfuckers just ain't aware. So like last week, I tweeted like, hey everybody, tweet these assholes about my record. You know, it needs to be on iTunes. And like apparently, people got pretty nasty quickly.
Really? Oh, yeah. Well, that's.
But I got a response from somebody at the company saying. At first, they were like, oh, that's real professional. And I wrote them back, like, real professional. I was like, you guys like are fucking me right now because you don't have a record of mine up that I put out, you know, 4 years ago. And then they got back to me. So I'm saying respectfully request these people to get my record up on iTunes.
Shit, man. That's fucked up.
Because there's one person in there apparently working on my behalf. I can't remember their name at this time. So we have an undercover operative in the operation at the moment. You know, but you know.
So, what is it? Just incompetence? Is it?
Well, we live by a Tribe Called Quest industry rule 4080, which is record company people are shady.
This just is what it is.
That's what it is. So
they're dying.
It's the industry.
It's a dying.
I'm gonna get the record up, but this song's from it, and this song I originally wrote when I saw like imagery of like kids in Palestine throwing rocks at like, you know, Israeli, like, you know, armored cars, and you know, it's kind of just was like. Explored the mentality of the oppressed and how far you will let yourself be oppressed, and I've started to come to the conclusion the song's about a lot more than just that, though. It's about kind of like what could be going on here soon, you know what I mean? So it's called Stone in My Hand.
Thank you.
We'll start a new crusade, we'll start a holy war. Don't need no orders, don't need no plan. Don't need nothing but stones in my hand. Stone in my hand, stone in my hand. Don't need nothing but stones in my hand. Stone in my hand, stone in my hand. Don't need nothing but stones in my hand. You build your fighter jets, you drop your bombs, you kill our fathers, you kill our moms, you kill our brothers and our sisters and our uncles and our aunts. Instead I'm fighting with stones in my head. Stone in my head. Stone in my head. Still I'm fighting with stones in my head. Stone in my head. Stone in my head. All the blood that's in my heart. Stones in my head. Blood runs the gutters, smoke fills the sky. Every son that suffers, every mother cries. So if you've had enough and ready for your stand, I'll be waiting with stones in my hand. Stone in my hand, stone in my hand. Yeah, I'll be waiting with stones in my hand. Stone in my head, stone in my head. All the love that's in my heart, stones in my head.
God damn, that's good. God damn, that's good.
Thank you.
Holy shit, dude. Woo.
Wow. That was awesome.
That is one of my new favorite songs, man.
Thank you, sir.
That is fucking fantastic.
The album's called Love, War, and the Ghost of Whitey Ford. Sony ATV Music Group. Get that shit up on iTunes, please.
Man, when I was listening to that, I was thinking, I need to hear this shit again right away.
There's a video for
you
it.
You know what I mean?
There's a video
no,
for
I need
it
to get it in my car on the way home, man. I need to figure out how to get it on my phone and get it in my car. I'm going to have to download that shit, and I can't get it off iTunes. That pisses me off. That bothers me.
Wow. I mean, it's a different version on iTunes anyway. The album version's got drums and all kinds of shit.
God damn, that was good, dude.
It's fun.
Whew.
It's revoluting.
That's a great song, man. That has everything. That has everything, man. It's the fucking beat is fantastic too. It's a very the way you played it. It was a very unusual sound for like an acoustic song.
I beat it up like a drum, man. That's kind of like my thing. It's like I was learned. I was taught.
I was learned.
I was learned how to strum the guitar. But like to cheat this hand like a drummer, like that's the down, that's the up, that's the kick and the snare kind of way my mind works, you know.
Yeah, when you were in the middle of the, I don't know any musical terms, but when you were really going at it, man, it was like it was both a drum and it was almost like there was a beat to it as well as, you know, hearing the actual sound of the chords.
Grazie.
Oh, it's beautiful, man. It's beautiful. The words are beautiful. It's so inspiring, man. I have no musical talent at all, so I always say this, like, music to me is like magic. Like, you're doing magic. Like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, you're making all this crazy, awesome noise. You know, I mean, it is, to me, it's like, I'm so musically retarded that it is like a form of magic. So inspirational, man. It's awesome, man.
Thank you,
beautiful.
Sir.
It's beautiful. You know. It's beautiful. Another one?
I'll play another. I'll play as many as y'all want,
dude,
man. The people are always nice. People, this is another one off that record. I'll just keep it in that theme for the moment. Got my
message. This is my darkest night, girl. You're swimming in my head. It happens all the time. I blow it every time. People change with time. Call me anytime, girl. I miss you oh so often. What's been said is done. It's my only option. I'll be anyone for you. Anyone. Out on the interstate, I play my radio. To all my sins. Been driving 7 hours, still got 3 to go. It always ends where it begins. You got your broken wings, I got my sewn up heart. Girl, all these fucked up things, they keep us torn apart. It happens all the time. I blow it every time. People change with time. Call me anytime, girl. I miss you oh so often. And what's been said is done. It's my only option. I'll kill anyone for you. Anyone, anywhere, anytime.
Anyone.
That was really good. And that was on the same album?
Yeah. That song actually I wrote like the night my father died, actually.
Wow.
Oddly enough, though, it's other than a reference to him, it's not that much about him, but except for the feeling it made, you know, it creates, like, for me. It's just about fucking everything up, you know, and every day, you know.
Is that when you write, do you try to do that a lot? Do you like write things that are not necessarily about what you're singing?
Yeah, a lot of times you don't want to, like, you know, I mean, you'll lay out, I'm sure it's the same even within comedy writing, you'll lay out a certain amount of yourself within something and you know, use it in a in context to make it something else.
Right. You know,
it'll become, you know, because the emotion is what we go after. You're going, right. You know, it's all about emotion. So it's, yeah, like you want to tap into an emotion. It's like, I want to recreate that emotion.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to have to use a piece of it to do it, but you don't want to necessarily.
Yeah, you're trying to tap into it.
Yeah.
Man, it's a crazy thing, you know, music can do. Man, music is such a weird feeling. It does to it, like, really, like, changes the way your whole body feels. Like, you tingle and shit.
I'm really stoned too. I feel like, yeah, I'm hypnotized or something right now.
You think somebody could talk you into something right
now?
I don't
know. Let's not just change the subject.
Yeah, well, that's one of the things about cannabis. Cannabis and the connection with music.
Yeah.
You really, you know, I hate being that person that go, dude, you got to try it. But if it wasn't for weed, I think I would be missing out on a lot of the levels of enjoyment that are possible. Because there's some levels of enjoyment when you're high, and one of them is listening to the music. When you're high and you listen to, like, Comfortably Numb, you know, you hit some old school Pink Floyd when you're high, and you hear all the subtle nuances to the song that you never recognized before.
Yeah.
And it's just, it overcomes you in a wave.
It's what I like to refer to as the highest common denominator. You know, it's like when we all hit that intelligent moment of, like, not the, you know, there's a lot of music that caters straightly to bass nature and bass.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And then there's that music that, like, really inspires to do what we're talking about, like find that emotion, find that thing, and really accurately describe it somehow, where the next person says, "Fuck, me too."
Yeah.
Damn, how did you know that about me? How did you know how to say that about me? Like when you do that in a song or a joke, you know. I mean, half the reason the real belly laughs come from motherfuckers who are like, "Oh shit, I know exactly what he's talking about," and he's so fucking right about
or
it.
Or when
you know?
hit some certain lyrics and people just go, "Oh, that's my fucking song. That's my song. He's playing my song." There's certain songs that become your song, man. Like you just want to hear them. They give you a feeling, you know. I mean, I can remember being a kid, like right out of high school, and I was at a friend of mine's house. And he was having a little backyard party. Everybody was laughing. Everybody's having a good time. It was like life had not gotten too complicated yet. I was still like only 18. And Sweet Home Alabama came on. He had a little boombox and don't. That fucking song. Oh, man. It was, oh, right away. It was like we were smiling and laughing and drinking beers and talking shit.
That's the wrong key.
Whatever, I don't know what the key is, it sounds good. That song will always
be wheels keep on turning. I don't know the whole song. Come carry me away. Something like that. I don't know.
That was a great goddamn song. That's an all-time classic.
I used to do one for Snoop that was a...
California, where the Crips, they all wear blue.
It's funny.
That's awesome.
That's hilarious. Yeah, this.
You hang out with Snoop a lot?
I mean, I wouldn't say a lot because, you know, lives are lives, and he's like that one of them dudes that's just. He's like Dana White, man. I'm gonna fucking wake up in a different place every fucking day of his life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I can't. I mean, I love traveling and working.
Yeah.
There's a limit, dude. I got to be at home.
Yes.
I got to drive my car once in a while, you know, hit the Olive Bar, like I'm talking about, you know. Y'all know the Olive Bar.
No, the Olive Bar. Brian, we've already discussed this with him. Stop being stupid.
At the Ralph's.
Yeah, Ralph's.
Ralph's Olive
nice
Bar.
Little
or
Olive
Gelson's
bar.
Sometimes
Whole
has a
nice
a
good
one.
One.
Whole
too.
Foods, too. Yes, they have
they
a
got
good
the
one.
Bright green olives that you rarely see.
I'm all about them, dude. With the pits.
I'm down with olives.
Olives are disgusting.
What the fuck?
Fucking hate
Bro,
olives.
To you, how about a little respect?
How about I can't respect? Get into them. They taste like black licorice vegetables.
Yeah, I love it. Sounds good. Give me more. Ugh. It's good for you. Hard to grow, too. Some places where they really didn't have much nutrients, but they're growing these stupid olives. Olives grow on the side of a dirty hill with
That's
no
right.
rain.
Gas all the people in Greece.
Yeah, and then you have to like treat them before you eat them, unless you're a dog. My dogs eat them right off the fucking ground. They're constantly eating olives. I'm like, you creepy bitches. And then they get diarrhea.
Ugh.
Now you know.
That doesn't happen to me.
Dogs eating olives?
No, diarrhea.
When you eat olives?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm talking about like some shit on the ground. When a dog eats olives that they found on the ground, you're not supposed to do that.
What gives you diarrhea?
You got a problem with the digestive tract, son? What the fuck?
Is that going to be something you're going to store in the bank for later or something? Yeah.
Well, he has two questions for you. That's one of them. And the other one is, do you believe in Bigfoot?
I already said who killed Biggie already once.
Yeah, we already did that one. But do you believe in Bigfoot is a good one.
Yeah.
The funny thing is I just watched an in-depth show on one of these things called, it's like fucking, like about this show on like History Channel or whatnot. It's all about connecting like the ancient world with like aliens.
Right.
You know what I mean? And yeah. one of their
ancient aliens.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, on the History Channel.
And one of them, they're trying to say Bigfoot is possibly yeah. some kind of hybrid fucking, like, hybrid alien
is
creature.
Is it possible drop that Bigfoot
and that he's traveling
alien?
Interdimensionally, and that's why we're never catching him, because he's moving through portals of time and space that we can't possibly understand.
Well, it could be. You fuck. Let's make a show.
Didn't this guy die? The guy who, like, said he perpetrated the whole Bigfoot thing, and like, well, they found all these like casts and things he made to make foots and what?
No,
am I wrong about that?
Yeah. There's more than one person. First of all, there's been a lot.
But like
of
a big, I remember a few years ago, a guy died, and they're like, he says everything was a hoax.
Yeah. There's been people that have.
I checked
hoaxes.
Out after that episode.
See, there's people that there have been people that have done hoaxes. There's no question about it. There's been a lot, but if there's not one guy, if there have been hoaxes, there have been hoaxes all over the fucking country and all over the Pacific Northwest. There's a lot of shit in the Pacific Northwest where it's like Monkey Canyon, Ape Creek, Ape Bluffs. It's ape, a lot of ape shit. And one of the reasons is because the Pacific Northwest coast of the United States has a long history of Bigfoot sightings. Is it people are high as fuck and they just see a bear walking on two legs? It's possible. Who the fuck yeah. knows? Is it possible that there was a big primate that used to live in the woods? That's possible too, man.
Oh yeah,
that's possible.
I don't say it's impossible. I'm just saying at this point, really, all the technology, iPhones, this, that, and the other, nobody's caught a flick of the dude.
Absolutely,
you would think that
nobody's caught a
that.
Flick. And if they
that.
Do catch a flick, it's like fucking. Yeah. I just saw something on Yahoo or something just in the last couple of days about a guy who says he caught the best picture ever of the Loch Ness monster.
Yeah,
really.
I saw that.
Yeah. And it was like a little kind of spine, and even in the article it says it looks like it was a manatee or something.
Yeah, and if the Loch Ness monster was real, even if it was a real thing, it wouldn't fuck with a great white shark. A great white shark, which is a real thing, is way crazier than this stupid Loch Ness monster. The Loch Ness monster's not killing anybody.
Unless it was a dragon.
Jacked. They had to shut down the beaches in Santa Barbara.
Unless the Loch Ness is a dragon, Joe. What if the Loch Ness was a dragon that lived underwater?
Oh, if it actually has like fire?
Yeah, like it's just...
Yeah, but there's no evidence of that,
Last dragon.
Okay, well, what if it was a unicorn? Okay. But my point is,
y'all are watching
really
too much of that Game of Thrones, man. That's what it seems
greatest,
like to me.
Greatest show of all time.
It's up there. I have it tied with right. See, I only got into Breaking Bad recently, like right before this new season started. Like Danny Boyle had always been trying to tell me that's a great show. I got so bored on my last tour traveling, I downloaded like all the seasons, and they had like a special deal, like $30, and you get all four seasons. I was like, screw it, I'll buy it. I started watching it. I did not stop for like 6 days.
Yeah,
watching Breaking Bad.
I have to get back to it because I did it from this whole right tattoo, my right sleeve. The whole time I did it, Aaron Dellavedova guru tattoo, holla at your boy. While he was doing it, I listened to the whole first season. I was like, God damn, this is
it gets better, dude. They haven't let me down yet. Like I'm waiting for the. Like it's nice. It's a good show.
What is his name? Bryan Cranston, is that his name? The lead actor.
Yeah, I think so.
God damn that guy.
The dude who plays the younger dude was in one of my videos many years ago. White Trash Beautiful.
Yeah.
It's that dude. What's his real name? I forget.
Jesse. We just had him over on the studio the other day.
Man, I see his
who
name
did you
all
have
time.
Been here with? Who's he friends with?
Naughty Show, but at the last second his manager said that he can't do it, so he just had to sit here.
What?
Yeah.
Why does he what?
Because he's in some kind of bullying campaign, so he's not allowed to do any adult themed podcast until like because it's like for the kids and stuff. So he's in like, a weird contract.
What
right
does
now.
Bullying have to do with sex?
I don't know.
Aaron something or Aaron.
Isn't it weird how they can decide what your personality should be like? They can decide what you attach yourself
anyway,
to.
If yeah, he was in one of my videos. He played a truck driver.
Yeah.
Yeah. In White Trash Beautiful. That's the video.
Oh, that's awesome.
Jesse. Man. Sniffing fucking meth in there, dude.
Yeah, that's a unusual show. I've heard The Wire is really awesome too, but I never.
I loved that show. I mean, but that show's over. You know, that might be the best cop show ever.
Never watched it. I watched like a couple episodes, and apparently it gets really good. I didn't give it a chance.
The first two seasons like kick off really hard, and then they go off into this other tangent where they almost lost me at that time. Like where they went off to a whole different part of the city and like did a whole new story, and it kind of like. Almost it felt like they were scrapping the whole earlier shit, but it all kind of comes around into a circle, and it was one of the best endings I think I've ever seen.
Don't,
it was,
all right, don't say
no, that. I won't tell
okay,
you. I'm just saying it ends well. It like doesn't leave you like oh, it's like oh, it felt like a complete project.
All right, I'm gonna have to get to it now. God damn it!
It's good.
Everybody says you have to.
Yeah, the wire's
good. You have to get a chance.
Wire's great.
I just love that they can do shit like what they can do with Game of Thrones now. I mean, you can make like incredible special effects for a fraction of what it used to cost. They can do it with like regular computers now.
I shook Johnny Cash's hand in my video. Really? Not even shake his hand. I gave him a pound. Like, bah, bah.
Really?
Oh, yeah, dude. In the Wholesome Prison video. We got when I made that song, I like, you know, I'm like serious about shit.
Is that
I went.
Online? Can we see that?
I went to Nashville and met with his son just to be like, look, are y'all cool with this? Because I was mixing it with hip hop with the Cypress Hill beat,
right?
And like on the version that's on the record. So I wanted to be, you know, respectful as I could to, you know, Johnny Cash's legacy. So I took it to them and I was like, yo, you like the song? You loved it. And then when I was thinking of ideas to do the video, we came across the stuff that I had known about it, but I'd forgotten about it. They had just released this DVD box set of the Johnny Cash variety show. And so I bought it and started watching it. And I was like, how great would it be if I was on the Johnny Cash show? And there it was. It's just behind you. Like he had his own, he had like a variety show and like they let us use the footage, man. They liked it. I mean, that's something they could have easily been like, hell no, you can't use that.
That's so awesome. Look at that. I hear that train coming round the bend. And I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. And they're singing along. The crowd.
Yeah, the whole crowd.
People from the 50s. Train just keeps rolling on down to San
Antonio. When I was just a baby. And like all those edits and like fades are like the style the show would use, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just funny. It was like, you know, but the point is, like, you were talking about how cheaply you can do some of this stuff, man. It really didn't cost that much at all because the technology's there, you know.
Wouldn't you have loved to be able to perform for a crowd like that, a real crowd like that, and just blow their mother?
The very end
minds.
Is me and him sitting next to each other, and he gives me a pound.
I've always felt like, what would it be like to be able to go back to the 1950s and do stand-up and just fuck their brains up sideways? They would have no idea what you're doing.
Yeah,
they'd be like, what is this guy saying? What?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Just cursing you'd be.
Yeah. Could you imagine going up and doing...
Cool. Did you see that, dog? Yeah, that was funny, man.
Could you imagine if you did jump around in front of a 1950s crowd? Oh, that is awesome.
Blow it up.
How'd you do that?
I don't know. I sat next to a dude. I sat next to a dude and gave him, he was wearing a black jacket and gave him a pound. And the next thing you know, is Johnny Cash giving me a pound back, man. That shit was crazy.
That's cool.
Wow, that looks good.
That's some Forrest Gump shit right there.
Forrest Gump.
That's amazing.
You know, that's what it was. It was like, let's get on some Forrest Gump type shit.
That's amazing.
Jump onto the old Johnny Cash show.
What do you think would happen if you went in front of a 1950s crowd and did Jump Around? Do you think they would be able to deal
fucking
with it?
Fucking look at you like you were batshit crazy, man.
It'd be like Back to the Future.
There was no hip hop, okay? So there was no amalgamation of hip hop. There was no what the fuck you guys were doing with bagpipes and shit. And it was all rowdy. Jump up and get down.
They would just look at you like you were fucking an alien. I'm sure of it. They'd be frightened by the sounds that the song made, first of all. They would find that frightening.
Just the way you're barking out the lyrics. I'm the cream of the crop. Like, they'd be like, what the fuck? Like, they didn't know. There was no bragging music back then.
No.
It's like the leader of the pack.
Yeah.
Broom, broom. Can you imagine? You come along with Jump Around. God damn. It's funny how culture just sort of evolves and changes. And it's hard to imagine it ever going back to where it was in the 50s or the clothes they wore in the 70s or any of that shit. So it's never going to happen. But you could see where back then that was what was up. That's what was up. You could see it all laid out. You could see it all moving forward. We're just tired of the old shit. We need something new. It gets more and more complicated. We live in a fucking weird maze of humanity, man. Human beings are the wackiest motherfuckers of all time.
Yeah, there's a lot of broken machines out there, man.
There's no manuals. Everybody gets a Ferrari with no fucking owner's manual. We're all just grinding gears and running into trees and shit.
Yeah.
It's not, how we do. Not figuring out how to use the mind correctly. You got another one for us?
I got as many as you need, man. I do this.
I know you do.
I'd be like, Joe, you got another joke for me?
Let's do it.
I'm trying to think what to play here.
Do you do any other kind of covers?
I can really butcher some Bill Withers.
Bill Withers.
This is really bad. I have bad guitar playing, but I like this song. I'll play it since you want to cover it now. Grandma's hand clapped in church on Sunday morning. Grandma's hand played the tambourine so well. Grandma's hand used to issue out warning. She said, Billy, don't you run so fast. Might fall on a piece of glass. Might be snakes down in that grass. Grandma's hand. Grandma's hand soothed the local unwed mother. Grandma's hand used to ache sometimes and swell. Grandma's hand used to lift her face and tell her, she said, baby, grandma, understand that you really love that man. Put yourself in Jesus' hands, grandma's hand. Grandma's hand used to give me a piece of candy. Grandma's hand picked me up each time I fell. Used to really come in handy. She'd say, Maddie, don't you whoop that boy. What you wanna spank him for? He ain't dropped no apple core. But I don't have grandma anymore. When I get to heaven, I'll look for grandma's hand. Grandma's hand.
That was awesome.
Holy shit.
You know, that's one of my heroes.
Wow. That's beautiful, man.
You know, you've known 20 of his songs. Like, Ain't No Sunshine. You know, that Lovely Day. Lovely Day. That dude's the shit. Bill Withers. If you ain't seen it, you should check out Still Bill. Yeah. It's a documentary about him. It's really good.
Is he still alive?
Yeah, he's out there. But he has a studio at his house. He makes music and locks it away. He don't release it. Nothing, dude. He just makes music.
Oh wow. Like,
he's just on some fuck the music business kind of shit, man. It's crazy.
But what about all the people that would love to hear it?
I don't know. I got to rewatch it. But I remember because I watched it on the bus where you get I watch it for a little while. But it's like they talk. His daughter's in the business. I think he's just. I mean. His songs, I'm sure his catalog makes a lot of money, man.
Isn't that crazy?
Because you hear his songs like everywhere. Yeah. Movies, that Use Me song, and Ain't No Sunshine, and Lovely Day, and
Ain't No Sunshine.
Who is he and what is he to you? A man with past just tried to stare me down.
Yeah.
But when he looked at you, you looked at the ground. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Those songs are everywhere. Oof. Everywhere. Grandma's Hands, that's a classic. It's got a song about a Vietnam veteran called I Can't Write Left-Handed by the guy who lost his left, his right arm.
Wow.
In the war, and he can't write left-handed. It's crazy, man. Deep songs. I like that. Like, there's all the hip-hop heroes I have, and then there's cats like Bill Withers, Neil Young, Tom Waits. Those are the cats on the songwriting side of things that, tickle my fancy.
Yeah, Neil Young has written some pretty intense lyrics.
Yeah, he's a good dude.
I was working at a concert venue when Neil Young was playing there, and a riot broke out. They had to shut the show down.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it was in the 80s. There was a lawn area. It was called Great Woods. It's in Mansfield, Massachusetts.
I think I know Great Woods.
And there's the area that's covered by a structure.
Yeah, we call them sheds.
Shed?
Yeah, yeah.
And then there's a back area where it's
like
grassy.
That, like amphitheaters is what they are. Yeah.
Yeah, and the grassy area, they started fires. People were cold, and so they lit things on fire. And they stood, and then the security came over and told them they got to put the fire out. And next thing you know, all hell broke loose, and it was crazy, and they shut the show down.
Wow.
Fucking people were, they were lighting fires. They were like, let's just start a bonfire.
Hippies,
in the lawn.
Man. Hippies always want to have a fire, you know.
There were just too many people that were fucked up, too.
That's funny.
Yeah, yeah, it was interesting, man. But it was, I getting to see him on stage from like really close up. I was like 19 when I had that gig. It's a weird thing for a young kid to see someone that they've seen like in movies or on heard on a record, and then they're like right there, like they're right there. It's a strange thing for young people to.
I really dig Neil Young, man. He's, you know, my father was big on Neil Young, so like it's one of them things is like. When you're young and you hear this music and you kind of just reject it on general principle because it's your parents' music.
Right.
And then 20 years later, you reexamine it and you're like, wow, man, I know all these songs and they're really good.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of where all that comes from. I had a good memory for the music.
Yeah, there was a lot of song that I had to go, a lot of music that I had to go back to. What is that? Listening to the tide slowly turning. Who sings that? Wash your heartache away. Moody Blues. Moody Blues. My parents had that, and I fucking didn't like it because my stepfather was always playing. I'm like, this shit's annoying. I want to play some Kiss.
Right.
I couldn't get into it. I was like, that's his old man whack music. You know, I just couldn't.
Yeah.
But as I got older, I you know, would listen to like a Moody Blues song and go, my God, that's a fucking masterpiece. Like, holy shit, Moody Blues don't get any respect. Nobody's like, I'm a huge Moody Blues fan.
Yeah, you're right.
That doesn't come up. Pull that song up, just the beginning part of it, because this is a beautiful song, man. And I couldn't appreciate it.
What's it called?
Story of Your Eyes, is that it?
I'm not a big story
in your eyes, Moody Blues.
I was never.
You're not a big Moody Blues.
It's not even that I don't like them. I just, I barely recognize the song you sang me.
This is. I bet you heard it before. You've heard this.
Yes, I've heard this. I've definitely heard this.
Oh fuck yeah. Pre-internet bitches. I've been thinking about our fortune, and I decided that we're really not to blame for the love that's deep inside us now. It's still the same, and the sound we make together is the music to the story of your eyes. It's been shining down on our real life. Can you feel this? Listen to the tide slowly turning. You're not into it at all, man.
Hey, but that's music, you know what I mean?
I love that. You know what I love about that song, man? First of all, that dude must have got a mountain of pussy from singing that song.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I want to fuck him, just, and I'm a guy.
What
and
the
it's
fuck?
Years later.
Kind of reminds me also of like Blue Oyster Cult.
A little bit
kind of sound.
Yeah.
I was never big on them either.
Oh, I love that song, man. Story in Your Eyes. That's one of the reasons why I love it is why some dudes love old cars. You know, it's not just a song to me. It's like a little historic ride.
Of course.
Yeah. So when I listen to Jimi Hendrix, when I listen to Voodoo Child, it's not a song to me. It's a historic ride. I'm gonna go on a ride as a dead man, and he's rocking the shit out of my car on the 210.
Yeah.
I'm driving in my car, and a dude who's been dead for decades.
And simultaneously transporting you to probably the first time in your life where you heard that.
Oh, yeah. I always associate, one of the reasons why I like classic rock so much is like, that's what I associate with that Leonard Skinner song when we're all at a barbecue, like right out of high school, like
party.
It's fun music.
Absolutely.
Jimi Hendrix, man, listening to that shit in 2012. He's dead for decades, but all you have to do is find that shit on your thing, press play. Can you do it with that?
Oh, no, I don't know that song. I used to know a Jimi Hendrix. I used to know a Jimi Hendrix song, and now I can't, for the life of me, can't remember it. things. It's one of the things you pull out for like barbecues or beach fire pits.
And you add an effect to your voice.
Isn't it interesting with dudes like Hendrix? Is like there's certain iconic figures like James Dean and Hendrix and Morrison. You know, there's like, you know, they had an impact, and then they're in the picture forever. They're in the picture forever. Yeah. You're never getting away from Jimi Hendrix. Yeah. If there's a guitar, if someone's talking about guitar, if, you know, if you want to use a sample, one of my favorite songs ever is someone made a mashup of 99 Problems with Voodoo Child. And it's fucking sensational. It's,
oh,
like,
yeah?
It's hard to fuck with, because you got Jay-Z, you know, singing 99 Problems, which is a great song, and then you got Jimi Hendrix playing the Voodoo Child soundtrack over it. Oh, certain dudes. But isn't it crazy that certain dudes, like, there's certain parts of society where if you have an immense amount of success and then die young, you're in the vernacular forever. You're one of the characters.
But not just the success those people have had. I mean, like, there was an impact. Like, nothing sounded like Jimi Hendrix before Jimi Hendrix. I mean, even the guys at the time, like Clapton and Keith Richards and all these dudes, were like jaw dropped. Like, what the this dude's ruining it for everybody.
Yeah,
you know that kind of thing. Janis Joplin, you know, that nobody had seen a white girl sing with that kind of just anguish. You know, there was at that moment a lot of, you know, what had like. That era is like basically nothing. The only thing new in the last 30 years, truly new in music, was hip hop. And even that was recycled old stuff. But it was just the delivery of it that was new. You know what I mean? Everything else is a recycling of blues music, jazz music, classical music. It's all recycled. You know, the Beatles did everything. Classical. There's no trick that's been done that the Beatles probably didn't pull off already. You know, with only 8 tracks at their availability, while cats today have 5,000 tracks at their availability.
How does that work? What do you when you say tracks? Like I know what 8 track
like
is.
In their day, like to have more than 8 things like on separate. The quality of recording depends a lot of times on how much you can separate the individual instruments and deal with their balance and their, you know, the EQs of them and getting each individual sounding sharp and having what we call a shelf. Which means all sounds are audible, but they all occupy different spaces. You know what I mean? Like each instrument is equal and feels you feel the weight the way they should, but they have different shelves.
So if you looked at it on the graph,
you hear them separately.
There would be
the things that when
columns.
You were high, all of a sudden that you thought were all together that you can find the separation in, that's from multi-track recording and fucking being able to have those things in. Otherwise, you had to do everything like. And what they call, they used to, I mean, the Beatles made records with that had orchestrations in the middle of them. I mean, so they were like bouncing 7 tracks down to 1 track, putting all that, like, so they were mixing while they were doing other things. It's bananas when you think about what they pulled off making records with the technology that was available to them compared to, like, now it would almost be like, oh, that's easy stuff.
Wow.
Back then it was like they had to invent ways to do what they were doing literally every day.
Wow! See,
a lot of musicians had to do that with their pedals and effects. Jimi Hendrix was always had a guy around and him probably toying with things like, how can we make this pedal sound different or this? You know, because there was no mass marketed, you know, crybaby pedals and, you know, all that shit. People made their own shit, basically.
Wow! What a crazy time. It's crazy when you think about how much it radically changed, like in the 60s when that came along from the 50s. Like, what two different eras, I mean, have ever been separated by that much change? The 50s to the 60s. I mean, that is a really strange time for human history.
Drugs came into play, man. I'm telling you, in a major way. You know?
Fuck yeah, that's exactly
psychedelics
what it is.
And cocaine.
LSD
and, you know,
when it was legal. Yeah. No one knew. Meanwhile, everybody was taking it. Everyone from Steve Jobs to... scientists and professors.
It changed
and
my
like
life.
Timothy
I wouldn't recommend it to somebody like at my stage of life to do it. But when I did it, it benefited me. Good trips, bad trips, all that shit like made my mind a stronger thing. You know,
yeah.
I also have homies that are one of the, you know, there was a gang of us, and there's also a couple of them that are still kind of fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a little off.
Yeah.
Oh, what happened to him? Oh yeah, you know, back in the day,
he's
the guy. We always call him the guy that never came back. You know what I mean? That's the guy that never came back. He stayed.
That's Pink Floyd had a song about that.
Yeah, the original guy.
Yeah, that's a scary thing. But I always wonder. So maybe he's just can't fucking swim. Get back over here, bitch.
Yeah.
Get your mental swimming together. Yeah, I wonder if it's possible that he just gave up.
Well, some people aren't prepared. I mean, LSD, I remember, and if there's any physicists out there or doctors that know different, I vaguely remember we read about it. We, like, looked it up and, like, that basically by the actual L25 drug that you take is gone by the time you're getting hallucinations. It's like it triggers something in your mind, like a gland or something in your mind that activates basically all the electrical outlets of your mind, that just kind of, instead of being shut down, opens it all up. So basically you ain't hallucinating nothing that's not already in your brain. You're not making
really
you know,
that's yeah, acid
basically.
Wow, I didn't know that.
I could be wrong, yeah. But I took a lot of it when I was young, but you know, it was like, you know, I was also told once, it's in comparison, like, to supposedly, and again, if this is ignorance that I'm spouting, I heard it somewhere else and I'm repeating it, so I am ignorant for saying it, but I usually have a pretty good sense for what makes sense and what can be true, you know what I mean? And then I've heard of swamis that cut the bottom of their tongues so they can swallow their tongues, and the reason supposedly for that is there's apparently some gland behind your, like, you know, behind this area inside your passage where they can reach up with their tongue supposedly and touch it.
What?
And it creates the same chemical effect.
How do you touch your fucking tongue? So they cut their tongue.
It could be. I apologize for the ignorance if it's ignorance, but I'm so crazy. I've heard of the swamis cutting their tongue. Why else would they cut it if not to swallow it? Let's look it up.
We gotta go.
I don't Google shit enough.
Oh my god,
my brain just takes in information and says I'm say that for a podcast one day.
That seems like something you would say when you're tripping to freak the other person out.
It could be. That's why I said, hey, this might be ignorance. I pre-qualified it, so nobody can give me no shit.
That's creepy. If that's true, that's really
I ain't
creepy.
Going to court and swearing on that shit. But I've heard this and read similar things.
Ugh.
But who knows who wrote those things? You're absolutely right. I could have been completely high and been reading, like, the guy next to me scribblings.
Oh, God. There's a tongue. Ugh, I found a terrible thing. There's a tongue-cutting ritual that where women cut off their tongue. They cut off part of their tongue to honor a politician.
Yeah, that's awesome.
No, see, what I understand is the part of your tongue that keeps it attached, that little string underneath your tongue, is what they cut.
Well, this woman actually had surgery to cut off her fucking a piece of her tongue so she couldn't talk.
Awesome.
Wow.
Oh, was there a good reason?
There's no good reason. She'd have to be crazy as fuck.
Yeah. That's like that episode of The Twilight Zone where the guy bets him he can't talk for a year or something, and then he, like, comes in and is like, I have to renege on the bet, man. I can't. And the guy cut his tongue out.
Oh, wow. I shouldn't even be reading this. This woman was trying to get a job that pays $45 a month. And she was trying to cut her tongue. Oh, Jesus Christ. The fuck is wrong with me?
Well, swamis.
I can't find anything about swamis.
No, swami swallowing their tongue? Maybe I hallucinated that whole thing, man.
Yeah. These are all dudes cutting their tongue off because it sucks.
No, man. Tongue swallowing?
Cut his tongue out. This guy cut his tongue.
How about tongue swallowing?
Tongue swallowing.
Let's Google that one.
Tongue swallowing butthole. I found that one.
Ugh. Is that really something that came up?
He adds butthole to everything.
Oh, okay. I was like, nowadays, you know, you put a couple words in there and a whole list of shit comes up. It's like, is this what you were looking for? It's like some crazy things happen.
Swami magic. Okay, so here.
Okay, so now a swami is attached to a tongue swallowing.
Well, glass eating, razor blades, let's see. I think.
Because I should know if this is true or not.
Oh, they use something. Tongue cutting is similar to what you see in The Amazing Jonathan do. He uses no, this is different. This is like a stunt that people do. Like,
and why do they call it swami? This
I don't know.
There's an association. There's an association there. I'm guaranteeing it.
I believe you.
And it's not a radical feminist one.
Ah! Cut your tongue, swallow it.
This ass is hungry for tongues.
What?
Page
Should I Google
two.
That?
Yeah.
I'm not finding anything there. But there is a gland in the middle of your brain called the pineal gland, but I don't think you can reach it with your tongue. That is the gland that supposedly is the third eye. That's what they talk about.
Yeah, well, that's the gland I'm referring to. And so some of my shit, I'm telling you.
Yeah, it's
close. Keep looking, because I'm telling you there's going to be something that I don't make things up unless they're really good.
Maybe I spelled swami wrong. How do you spell swami?
Salami.
Let's say swami third eye tongue. See, if that's happens. Not a band, it should be.
Yeah. Third Eye Tongue Swami.
Yeah.
Swami Tom.
Swami.
Have you ever thought about doing anything other than music? Like, if you see, like, Mark McGrath hosting some celebrity show with a suit on, does that make you go, what the? I wouldn't do that. I could.
No, but, and I know Mark. I've known him a long time, man. But it makes total sense for a dude like him. Like, his personality is kind of built for those, you know, he's one
he
of
likes
them,
to he, be, yeah, like, he, a, yeah, a host yeah. or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you think even you
his,
ever...
Even his... Even the way he performs in a band is it, you know, it's kind of caters to that kind of entertainment. You know right. what I mean? It's like very, he's, you know, he wants to entertain.
Well, when you see like Justin Timberlake doing movies and you see a lot of rappers have done movies, do you ever think about doing any acting or any other kind of stuff?
I did that a long time ago.
And, did you?
Yeah. It's not my thing. I think if you're good at it, do it. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, God knows we wouldn't have, you know, Mark Wahlberg's a pretty good actor, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's a very good actor.
You know what I mean? So we wouldn't have known that by his rap career, though.
Right.
You know what I mean? So go do what makes you feel good, man. Tupac was an amazing actor.
Yeah, yeah, you know? Yeah. I just always wanted to know if you would
personally.
Ever
I'm in my. I would like to, you know, the older I get, I think about, you know, maybe, you know, some youngsters, you know, produce some younger acts or something.
Yeah, that'd be a great
but
thing.
That's, you know, still music, you know.
Yeah, right. Stick with what you love, right?
That doesn't mean bombard me with demos either, please.
Do you get a lot of that?
Nah,
you
I don't.
People hand you
I don't
things?
Even, you know, I mean, I try to give things respectful looks if something about it intrigues me, but if you just start spamming me with shit, I just block you.
The worst thing ever is when people want you to read their scripts. Like, bitch, do you know how long that takes to read a script?
Yeah,
it's a fucking, there's 110 pages of this bitch. Yeah. You want me to read this whole thing? That's like asking.
Give me the lowdown. If the lowdown, yeah. You know,
I'm not a script reader. What am I doing here? The fuck, man.
You want to? Do you want to later swim past the breakers and watch the world die with me and my haircut?
That's where you're at right now, right? You are. What was that band?
I don't know.
Was it EverQuest? No.
No.
What the fuck is that band? Santa Monica.
Oh, Everclear.
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 Yeah. Everclear. You do. You look like the Everclear guy.
Swim out,
but that dude is like you if you had AIDS.
Hey, did you get annoyed with that guy having like a similar name at the time? Like, because it was kind of like weird that there was all these like ever things.
Yeah, you know.
Did you ever be? You should threaten that guy.
Well, Everclear is a very
threaten a rape on him.
It's a very famous liquor. It's yeah. weird that they would pick Everclear as their name because
there's another one, Evergreen.
Oh, yeah. Oh really?
Yeah. Like, I got a call one day, speaking of Neil Young, we were talking about him earlier, I got a call one day, like, my buddy was like, yo, man, you're playing at the Forum, man, with Neil Young? I was like, what, I am? I was like, I'm at home, dog, I'm not playing at the Forum. I was like, I don't know what the hell you're talking about. I was on my laptop, and I Googled it, and it's some band called Evergreen. I'm like, this is my friend calling me, by the way. I'm like, yo, can you fucking read, man? But that was kind of like, yo, they hadn't been, I mean, I've been around 20-some-odd years, man, come on now.
Yeah, that's weird, though.
It's all right.
Because it is a different name. You can't know, really own
I stole
ever.
It from a fucking boxing glove, man. Yeah. Come on.
That's you know? True, right?
The name was Eric Rocks Everlasting. And then, you know, that was like my E-Rock E was my original, like, kind of rap name. And I just kind of shortened it one day. I was like, Everlast. Fuck it.
It's amazing how much.
And back then, not knowing copyright laws or anything like that, I was like, I already got a fucking logo. I really kind of thought that. I was like 17. I was like, yeah, I already got a fucking logo. I'll just steal that logo. You know, I didn't really think about it.
Was there anybody else trying to be Everlast?
No.
Seems like a good name. Seems like a name like that somebody else might want to swipe.
There's like a DJ that calls himself Everlast, which really I find funny.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Wait, why do I feel like I met this dude?
I don't know, but it's kind of a jerk off move. That's the one that would probably piss me off. Like Evergreen, nah. Everclear, nah.
I feel like
DJ Everlast, get the fuck off my nutsack, man. Get the fuck off my nutsack, man.
Yeah,
that's fucked up.
Yeah, I met this dude. I'm pretty sure I met him in.
If you meet him again, you give him a little smack. Give him a little smack. Like, hey. What if you met a dude and he's like, "Yo, man, I'm Fro Rogan, man. I'm a comedian, dude."
GJ Everlast Music. He's on MySpace, yeah. Man. Tight.
He's on MySpace.
He's on MySpace.
Wow, dude. I haven't even looked at MySpace in like 6 years.
Isn't it weird? MySpace is still there, though.
It's I think still I still have one, though. But my management is the only people who even go near it, probably.
But how strange if you really stop and think about the fact that it's still there.
Yeah.
And nobody goes there anymore. Like, what did they do to fuck it up so bad?
And they kind of set it all off. It's like,
yeah, they set it all off. They made Dane Cook. If it wasn't for MySpace, I mean, MySpace literally, there was an article, I will never forget, it was in People magazine.
They're responsible for Tila Tequila.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. They jumped her fuck off. Thank God. She's here for us now, man. She had to provide us entertainment. Be the first female juggalo or whatever. Yeah, it's MySpace was the shit at one point in time for clubs, like to want to promote, like we had a gig. You would go on MySpace. That's how you'd promote your gig. Good luck now, bitch. Joey Diaz stopped using it even. When Joey Diaz stops using MySpace, it's over. Because that's how he was writing his blogs. He's writing them all on MySpace.
Yeah, I don't. I have not literally even looked at it. I haven't even thought to look at it. And I'm like, I wonder what. It's just, it's an ancient thing to me.
It is, but it's so amazing that it happened so fast. It was within a couple years. It was giant. Everybody was using it. And it was like, Facebook's better. Fuck this. And they just all left.
Look, my old MySpace.
It's still there.
Hey, look, there you are.
Wow. That's hilarious, dude.
What's funny is my picture was, like, I had the same avatar for the longest time. And then when I left MySpace, I just took myself out of the picture. Like, I used to be standing in front of this painting right here.
Oh.
And then I just took
cut my, it out. Yeah,
left the painting there.
Brian's on here, man.
Jenna Jameson.
Yeah, it was a strange thing, MySpace. Out of nowhere, takes off, everybody's on it, and then it goes away. Then Facebook, then Twitter.
The thing about the crazy part is like fucking. If you remember, like Facebook really wasn't that big, man.
No,
and
not,
then
nothing.
What happened that changes these things? Like crazy world events change these things. I at least this is my perception of it, you know. Which is you already heard my Swami story, so I could be way up fuck off here. But like, if I remember correctly, not too many people were messing with Facebook until that Virginia Tech shooting.
Really?
And then, like, they started the news. Was like, the guy has a Facebook page. And then it's like, all of America. I mean, that's when Facebook was around. People were messing with it. But I'm talking about it didn't go nuts until after that event.
Cut to Alex Jones going, well, what happened was Facebook engineered the shooting. They got him. It was a Manhattan Project type event. It was top, top secret, and they brought him out to the desert.
I'm not selling you that. I'm just selling you that when you hear Facebook 4,000 times on every 24-hour news network, you get curious about it, and people started looking and probably wanted to see the fucking Disturbed Fuckers page. You know, people want to see that kind of shit.
Definitely.
Then Twitter was on the bubble. It was. I'm not saying these things weren't around. I'm talking about when did they crack and go fucking global. Twitter was the fucking Arab Spring.
I heard Friendster's offices was in Tower 7. Like the office of Friendster was in Tower 7 when it went down.
Really?
No.
Dude.
Yeah, man. I remember
Friendster.
Finding dudes in the news that like killed somebody.
That one got by before I even knew about that kind of shit.
Yeah,
like people
me too.
Friendster was old when I first heard of it.
Yeah, same here.
It's like CompuServe. Remember that?
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah.
They Prodigy. I think the Prodigy.
Angel, did you ever have an Angel Fire website?
No, but one of my homies went and like he came home in the studio and had to grab something out of his like email or something, and he fired up America AOL. I was like, I heard that. That's exactly what I heard. You got mail. I was like, man, that sounded just like that. You're still on America Online. That's crazy, man. I mean, but you know, says the guy with an Earthlink address.
Earthlink.net.
I wonder who was the guy that did the voice for You've Got Mail. I wonder.
It's probably not even a real human.
It was probably cool to date that dude and have sex with that dude during the time of the AOL boom. He'd probably had some fun things to say in bed.
Do you think he was doing that? He was just doing that voice everywhere? That was his shit?
I'm going to fuck you in the ass.
He was like Max Headroom?
Yeah.
Remember Max Headroom? A little career doing that.
Dude,
for a
they
while.
Made a movie off his face.
Yeah.
You've got mail.
You've got mail.
Do you remember when the dude would do something like kill somebody or something? You could go to his MySpace page, and you're like,
exactly
what
my point
weird.
About the like that's what like that Virginia Tech shit did for fuck because it was all college and all they talked about. I remember on the news was like the guy wrote his whole thing on his Facebook page and Facebook page and the logo was up and that's when it went big, man. I'm telling you.
I wonder if you're right. It makes sense. Well, I mean, it certainly helped. So certainly made people, but I think Facebook offered what MySpace was already offering. Just they did it way better. They made it way less clunky.
It's just like they said on the thing, too. It's way more exclusive.
Yeah, well, there's no glitter tags.
At the time, you know, only 5,000. Like, it had gotten out of control on MySpace tour. It was like, I have 400,000 friends. Like, not even famous people. Like, you know what I mean? Like, regular people, like, going out there on these trolls for more friends. And it's like, I don't care. I don't even look at my Facebook, really. You know, I'll be honest.
I started using my Facebook.
My fan page, I post my shows on it. And, you know, I look at it, but I don't I don't get into a lot of exchanges with people. Like Dana's philosophy, like I was talking, he's like, man, you want to be big on the Twitter? Just go at it with some of these fuckers. I'm like, man, I ain't got the energy for that shit. Somebody writes some dumb shit to me, it's just like easy. Let me go to your page right here.
Yeah.
Oh, block you. Bye.
Yeah.
I don't need that in my life, man.
I write blocked and retweet them. I retweet them and write blocked.
It's got to be funny for me to retweet that. It. If it's just like stupidity, I'm not going to retweet it. If it's funny and it's bad, I don't care if it's bad about me. If it's funny, okay, here you go.
I will do it because I don't think people realize how stupid what they're writing sounds.
Yeah, but now they're just going to do it.
Until other people respond to it.
But then they just do it just to get
I bet you're wrong. I bet you're wrong. I bet what happens is, first of all, I block them after I retweet them. And then second of all, when you get the negativity back thrown at you by all these people who think you're an asshole for saying something stupid.
Yeah.
Then you realize what it's like, and you're like, "What the fuck am I doing, causing problems in my life for no reason?"
See, I did that to the Sony people, and like, I felt bad because like some people were like, "Why isn't his record online, dickbags?"
Yeah, bitch.
Like, hey, bitch. Yeah. Hey, you fuckers. It's like, whoa, guys. I'm just trying to get the record up.
Yeah, you got to give them very specific instructions on how to attack.
Yeah,
you can't just let them go loked out.
I did. No, I kind of called them douchebags, and I was like, "Call these assholes and tell these douchebags to put my record up."
So
it's my fault.
Yeah, you started it, man.
Yeah.
So is the
they're industry people, man. If you're in the music industry, in my opinion, and this goes for anybody working for me that falls under this category, gets the same description. If you're in the music industry and you don't make music, produce music, record music, or somehow put your hands on music, you're a leech and a parasite of cat proportions.
Has it always been like that, though?
It's Isn't set it up. The game is set up. The game is set up. It's the only, and not only are you a parasite, but you're the only if you're in the music business and you don't make music, I mean, then you're living off another organism. So I'm not being even a dick when I call you a parasite, but I'm saying, what makes you the worst kind of parasite is you're the only parasite that's figured out how to eat before the host organism. You dig?
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Like, they all are getting their monies.
The complete disproportionate
amount of
wealth.
And then by the time it gets to the person who generated all the monies, in most cases, it's nothing. You know, that's why you see so many of these sad stories of cats that should have it all and don't. Because by the time it got to them, nobody helped them, first of all. You know, if you're young and somebody hands you a ton of money, I mean, I'm surprised I'm alive the amount of money they handed me when I was young. You know what I mean?
How does it work without collusion that they keep the rates so high amongst people like that?
I don't know. It's just because the only excuse you get is that's how it's always been done. Now, I don't buy in. The people, I'm telling you, I've been doing it long enough where I do it the way I want to do it.
What were the options when you first started? There was no other options. You started before the internet. What was it like when you
used to sell records back then?
You sell your own records.
No. I'm just saying, in general, you moved a lot of units before the internet. You know what I mean?
Right.
If you had any kind of, you know, even if it was just so lazy and playing cat videos over there.
There was more money, period.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's just like, you know, you had to, if you wanted some music, you had to buy it. And bootlegging was like, you know, a guy on the block buys the record and two of his friends gets to cassette tape it from him. You know what I mean?
Right.
Now it's like a guy on the block buys the download and 5,000 and goes on some site and 5,000 people get a copy of it. You know what I mean?
Even distribution is moving to a digital model. So it's almost like you don't need that anymore with things like iTunes.
I still love a record
and,
in my hands, though. You know, I like to have a CD in my hands and unfold it and look at it. And that's just me. That's the generation I come from.
Oh, yeah. Listen, I remember when we went to CDs. I missed
albums. I used to love album artwork.
The artwork was huge.
You know, that was a big part of the record. There used to be a Grammy category, and I don't think it is anymore. It used to be best album cover.
Yeah.
And they don't even do that anymore.
Yeah, I remember Cheech and Chong's Big Bamboo? You would open
paper.
It up. It was a giant rolling paper. It's fucking tremendous.
Be Real actually rolled a joint comparable to the size of that paper once.
I believe it.
Yeah. Smoked the shit. I think he's still got the roach, which is like this long and like that fat, like in a frame thing at his house.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah, Big Bamboo was a classic. And it was the album cover itself was part of the whole experience.
Yeah.
What do you do about that? They didn't have music videos, though. you know, or rarely, you know, you rarely saw anything visual put to the music. It was, the music was like a completely audio experience.
Internet killed the video star, you know?
Did it though? Because it kind of expanded things too, man. It made like an opportunity to like this. One of the coolest things about this gig is being able to have guys like you, and we have this band Honey Honey came in and played, and it's the coolest thing ever to be like have a three-person concert.
Yeah,
you know,
it's fun. I was like, I gotta bring the guitar. I know.
So this is the internet, though. This is the same thing that killed it. This is the same thing.
Hey, man, I make a lot of my bread off of, you know, you know, my fans are loyal cats. They buy my records. They buy my downloads. I mean, I keep a steady stream. You know, I'm not a hater, but at the same time,
you realize it's just changing. It's just changing, and things are getting weird. Like I said earlier,
but it's not that it's changing. Here's the thing: is like, before the internet, I guarantee you, there's no record I would have ever made that wouldn't have moved at least a couple hundred thousand units, right? Now on this last record, I think I've moved about 50,000. You know what I mean? And that's completely independent. It's good money. I'm not tripping. But what I'm saying is, you're not going to tell me that those same other 150, 200,000 people ain't checking for me.
Right.
They're getting the record.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I figure for every one you sell, four or five people are just taking it.
So are you selling it on your own? That's the problem. You're selling it on your own, like out of your own websites?
I have a distributor with EMI Records, but I own my own masters. I own my entire label. I mean, they just help me distribute my record.
So when you say they help you distribute it, that means
the physical record. I mean, otherwise, like iTunes and all that, you don't even need a distributor anymore. You just go to them. It's available through them.
So when you say 50,000, you mean 50,000 people bought an actual CD?
Albums, yeah.
Actual album.
And then I don't even know the numbers on like people that just come and buy individual or two or three songs off the record. You know what I mean? So that confuses numbers too.
That's kind of cool though. You could do that.
I'm not complaining at all, but I don't want anybody to get it twisted. I live a real good life. You know, like I said, I'd like to meet that hedge fund fan, super fan. The ones that help me be, you know, super rich.
You say that. He's going to take you to the place where he's been cloning babies. Show you what's up. You're going to have to keep secrets.
Cool with that, man.
You cool with that?
Maybe. Depends on what they do to the babies once they clone them, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, if they're just cloning babies,
and
I mean,
like bringing them to
they're
the
going to good homes. I mean, hey.
Everlast is in a mansion in the East Hamptons. What? Where the fuck did you get this place, man?
I can't tell you.
Investment that I got involved.
Yeah, investment going.
There's something crazy about the people that made billions off the internet in the beginning. You know, when the internet.com boom was taken off, people sold websites for crazy amounts of money. And
Mark Cuban? Isn't he one of these guys?
Yeah, he's a billionaire from that. Yeah. Yeah.
He's managed to stick around, though. So he's
smart, dude. Yeah, he's a very nice guy, too. Very normal guy. Very down-to-earth guy. Remember, he was involved, I think, in some fight organization. I think maybe he was involved in Affliction in some way too, and he had HD Net.
Yeah,
and he put on.
They changed the name of that recently.
Yeah, it's Access TV. They're the Why best.
Is it still his though?
It's partly his, I think, and Ryan Seacrest is involved.
Yeah,
I
recorded a show for that channel.
For
like
HD
a live
Net?
Show. Yeah, yeah, they've been showing it a lot too.
Yeah. Those are great. Yeah, they. I don't know why they had to change the name. I thought HD Net was a great name.
Yeah, well, and they're big on the fights, man. They have the MMA Weekly and all that stuff with Boss. I love that show, man.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. They're the best as far as like one channel that covers all sorts of different fighting sports. Like they have K1 kickboxing.
They'd be telling you about the smallest shows in little towns too.
Yes.
You'd be like, really? They're doing MMA?
Oh yeah, right. They'll put on. They go to like all these different small organizations that very few people have ever heard of, and they'll put on those fights, and they'll put on all the best kickboxing too. It's real hard to get good kickboxing in America. It's only that Access TV. Nobody else even shows it. You can't see like the high level Muay Thai and high level kickboxing, like K1 style.
Yeah.
It's only them. They're the only ones providing it.
Yeah, they always show the dream shows and all that.
That is the one thing when I always tell people, if there's one untapped market in the sports entertainment world, it's high level kickboxing. Somebody has never capitalized on that. While boxers are making fucking millions of dollars, MMA fighters are making millions of dollars, these kickboxers are still languishing. And these motherfuckers are so exciting. Like real high-level Muay Thai kickboxing, it has not been exposed to the masses. People don't realize how goddamn exciting it is. Dudes kicking each other in the fucking legs and the head and flying elbows and knees and shit. Like, that is a crazy exciting sport. Like, Muay Thai is really exciting. It just hasn't been exposed to America correctly. It's a huge moneymaker just waiting to happen of UFC proportions. If somebody, some rich dude, some investment type character had the balls to put together some really high level kickboxing and start showing that shit in America, they would make mad loot. Because one of the things that everybody loves about the UFC is that anything can happen. But the other thing they love is knockouts. People fucking love knockouts. They love submissions, but when it comes to like what they would choose, they choose to rather see somebody get kicked in the face.
Yeah, it's gladiators.
Something crazy about it. When a dude just, like the Donald Cerrone fight last weekend, Donald Cerrone head kicks Gallard, and then as he's wobbling, comes in with the fucking death blow and KOs him on the way down. I mean, that's what people want to see.
Yeah, that was good.
Tremendous. That's not available in kickboxing, unfortunately. You can't hit a dude in the face while he's going down. You know, the referee would separate you. You get a standing eight count, which is actually kind of the worst way to fight. It's actually, like, more dangerous to be allowed to recover. You know, it's better for the referee to come over and save you after do punches you one or two more times than you to sort of get your wits back and then get properly K the fuck O'd, you know. But in K1 kickboxing and in Muay Thai, that's all the stand-up fighting. It's all kicking and punching. It's all the what's probably the most important shit or the most exciting shit to watch. And no one's ever really like, capitalized on it. It's weird.
Yeah.
You don't give a fuck.
I do. I love kickboxing, man.
Yeah. Have you ever
seen it live? I'm still feeling the effects from earlier, dog. I've been stuck on stupid for a while, dog.
That weed is not.
I was actually sitting here reflecting on the whole Swami thing, and I'm like, man, I'm just gonna get it today over this Swami thing. I know it. I know people are gonna be like, what kind of retarded shit is that?
It's cutting their tongue and massaging their brain. What, man?
I hope somebody proves me right. Is all. Otherwise, I'm like, man, that was a good hallucination.
It
man,
might be deep in like page 5 of Google.
You know, it's a good hallucination of an explanation, though, man.
I was thinking of
that's a good lyric. A good hallucination of an explanation.
Yeah, like maybe you just combine them in your head in some strange way.
I'm sure something like that happens. If it's not coming up on Google, we all know how reliable the internet is, dude. Listen, I mean, everything's on there.
Part of the beauty of podcasting is that people get to see you talk a little shit and not be correct. Yeah. It's not edited. It's like this is what
unlike you, I don't have like you know a war room like laptop in front of me.
Yeah, this is a manly laptop. Look at that.
Yo, man,
alien
that's a goddamn
eyes and shit.
Yo, man, I thought you was gonna. I thought there was a briefcase.
It runs on coal. The thing has a nuclear reactor in the center of it. Yeah, this is we started using these because they support MMA.
It runs on the blood of the innocent.
It's slowly tapping into your soul.
It's been staring at me for a while, dude. It's starting
it's
to creep
dope,
me out.
Isn't it?
The eyeballs are starting.
It's the ladybug.
It's us in the future, is what it is, man. That's what the alien is. We know that's the future. That's inevitable. That's what we're going to look like.
Really?
If we used to look like monkeys and this is what we look like now, that's next. No doubt about it. The atmosphere is going to erode, so we're going to have big black eyes like permanent sunglasses. That's what I'm thinking. Permanent sunglasses because we're going to deal with a hostile environment. You're not going to really talk anymore, so you have a giant head with a little tiny slit of a mouth. You're probably going to get all your nutrients through some cream you rub on you or something. You're probably not even going to have to eat anymore. They're going to invent orgasm pills so your dick's going to shrink away to nothing. So you'd be like that man in the suit, this skinny thing. You don't need your muscles because you're controlling the universe with your brain. You're speaking telekinetically, so you don't have a language anymore outside of actual information. My job's
obsolete then.
No.
I'm gonna mentally telepathically sing to you?
Well, that's what I think. That's why I think the idea of simulation theory is actually plausible. And that simulation theory is like real legit scientists they've offered up the possibility that if someday someone created an artificial reality, someday someone created something that was controlled, it was something generated by a computer, but it was undetectable from reality. It seemed real. Is it possible that they could get to that level someday? And the reality is yes. Yes, it is possible. If the advent of technology and technological innovation keeps moving in the same direction, everything gets better. So if you look from now to 1,000 years from now or 1,000 years ago, you look at what we're capable of now and extrapolate what 1,000 years from now we're going to be capable, artificial reality is a given. It's going to be easy. So the idea is, are we already there? Are we already in that artificial reality? Is it possible?
The Matrix.
Is it possible that these aliens, this is what we really look like, dog, but this is whack. This is a stupid way to live. Nobody's getting their dick sucked. No one's car makes some cool noises.
Right.
Nobody can play some badass music. Everything is like evolved and telekinetic, and everything is, you know, without sin or without. But there's no whiskey. There's no shit talking. No one farts on you. You know.
Just don't unplug me.
Yeah,
I'm cool.
Maybe this is why, you know, our life is so crazy. Maybe this is why life is so chaotic and ridiculous. And it would seem like the type of being with the brain to build something like New York City would have everything else completely wrapped up too. I mean, it takes an amazing amount of innovation, thinking, computation, and construction, and just amazing amount of stick-to-itiveness to build something like a New York City. You would think an organism that can do that, well, they got everything wired. This whole thing is why they're from the future. They've figured out the whole thing. They look what they can do. They can do impossible technical tasks. Surely, socially, they would have it all together. Surely, they wouldn't be this crazy mix of hypocritical bullshit and fucking propaganda on television and nonsense. There's no way they would be that stupid. How would they make satellites and be that fucking stupid? There's no way. So the idea is that we are from an evolved time, but it's boring. So we've come here where shit's fucking crazy. And that's what makes it fun.
You could have me high tripping on the way home like, damn.
Well, you know, I've gotten shit about
that's
this.
That's one of those, the whole universe could be under your fingernail, bro.
It's one pubic hair.
The real problem is it's starting to be substantiated with science. When they're doing, you know, these string theories guys and these quantum physicist guys, where they're doing technical computations, when they're trying to figure out like the nature of the actual matter itself, one of the things they're finding that there's mathematical programs to it all. There's things in this life follow mathematical computations. They follow like an algorithm. They follow the Fibonacci sequences, like the way a person's face looks, the way a tree grows branches, the way a sunflower seed. It's all like mathematics, inescapable mathematics.
Oh, yeah.
And then they're finding more code in quantum theory. They're finding like the smaller they're getting as far as like the smaller things that they're looking at in the universe, they're finding mathematical algorithms that you could like clearly track, like that they've measured from the 1940s. Like they know what they are, like they know this actual program. So it's not outside the realm of possibility,
right,
that this might be an awesome simulation. That might be why it's so much fun.
Maybe. Is this stuff that happens and you get really deep into in the isolation tank?
Yeah, that's the problem. The isolation tank is only about what is real, because nothing's real once you get in there.
Yeah.
Have you done it?
I've experimented similarly, but not full of, like, you know, like nighttime, just in my pool with my ears plugged and my eyes covered.
That's all groovy.
Floating.
That's all groovy and everything, but you need a real one. You need one. Everybody needs one. It's one of the biggest injustices that people that are interested in thinking and creating don't have one of these things.
Because if you're in the simulated reality, you're probably already laying in some sort of liquid, so you're bringing yourself back almost to your essence if you're doing that.
Or nothing is real, and your consciousness has been downloaded into some sort of a gigantic computer.
There's got to be some kind of organic matter.
You think so?
Yeah.
Well, what if technology is organic? What if we think of it as inorganic because we create it, because we create a phone? But what if you look at it, what if it's an actual life form that's independent of us, but we have this weird symbiotic relationship with it where we're are the method that it's evolving through, and it's going from being a fucking toaster.
Dude, do you
being...
have a Star Trek shirt on or something? Cause I swear you're going to start talking about the Borg or something in a minute.
Well, if you really stop and think about it, we're connected to electricity. We talked about that earlier.
We are electricity.
We do have the power.
Yeah, we are.
But we would panic if the power goes out. I panic if I don't have my phone. I panic if my car doesn't work. You're like, shit. We are already connected to certain aspects of technology. I leave the house without my phone. I feel pretty fucking naked. I would rather walk out of the house with no shirt on than I would with no phone. You know? I feel like less of a freak.
Wow.
My phone is more important to me than clothes. Like I need to be able to talk to people.
That's strange.
It's not strange. If I'm out there in the wild, what if my fucking car breaks down? What, am I going to have to walk to a tow truck? Where's the tow truck? In what direction? Do I know? Do I walk around naked and ask people? Come on, man. I need that fucking phone. Actually, in that scenario, I wouldn't have been naked.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense. This would be a good time for a new song, man.
We have, by the way, 5 minutes.
Okay. You got a song?
You guys got time limits, huh?
Well, at 3 hours, we turn into a pumpkin.
Yeah.
It's bad for iTunes. Something happens with the audio.
I got one more for you.
Okay.
Dude, this one's called Long Time.
Was a hot-blooded woman, never saw her coming. She hit him from the side that's blind. She never gave a warning, woke up in the morning, laying there next to his bride. He got a little crazy when she had a little baby, cause he filled him with a fatherly pride. Just a couple years later, when the love started fading, he hurt so bad, nearly died. It's been a long time since I was faithful. It's been a long time since I was grateful. It's been a long time since I could look you in the eye. It's been a long time since I was grateful. She's a mother with a daughter sitting by the water, cause it's better for her baby to breathe. She got a man that's in prison cause he didn't wanna listen, that's sitting waiting on a reprieve. She loves a little baby, but she get a little crazy, cause it's harder than she ever conceived. He left her on her own, but she's doing it alone, cause she loves him like you wouldn't believe. It's been a long time since I was faithful. It's been a long time since I was grateful. It's been a long time since I could look you in the eye. It's been a long time since I was grateful. He's a friend and a lover, husband and a brother. He's always been a prodigal son. Gets a lot of drama when he goes to see his mama, cause he curses like a son of a gun. Begging to his lady, let him see his baby, he swears she's the only one. He's got a heart full of sorrow, living for tomorrow, and sorry for the damage he's done. It's been a long time since I was faithful. It's been a long time since I was grateful. It's been a long time since I could look you in the eye. It's been a long since I was grateful. It's been a long time since I was faithful. It's been a long time since I was grateful. It's been a long time since I could look you in the eye. It's been a long time since I was grateful. Grateful.
Dude, thank you very much, man.
Anytime, man.
Thank you for coming here. Anytime you know you want to come back, anytime you feel like playing some songs, please just holler at me.
That's the shit, man. That's what I did. I'm ready. Let's go.
Yeah, it was
beautiful, man.
It's beautiful. Thank you very much, man. Very
inspirational.
Me, man.
Fun. Hey, when I first came on this motherfucker, man, I just quit my Twitter, or I just restarted after quitting Twitter, man. You know what I mean? And there's like damn near 30,000 people on it now, so you know that's all love from coming. A lot of it coming from your direction, man. So,
Listen, man, that's beautiful. And every time you're on it, man, we appreciate the fuck out of it. We get a million positive tweets. I'm looking at it right now. My Twitter's blowing up. People loved it. They had a great fucking time, as always.
You know, OG Everlast, come shake me out. That's the same. Oh, yo, I got a bone to pick with you on your fans' behalf.
Uh-oh.
Post some motherfucking pictures on Instagram, dog. There's one, and it's of me,
yeah,
dog.
I don't understand that Instagram. Everybody's like really into pictures outside of like Twitter picture. I don't get it. I'll try to use it.
What it is, okay, is you just set it up so when you put it on Instagram, you hit one button and it'll go right to your Twitter too.
Okay, I'll hook it up.
They're mad at you, man.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, everybody.
And plus, man, it, you know, I got like 9,000 people on there. I got like 300 pictures. You got one, and there's like 30,000 people.
All right, I'll put some more. I promise. Mm-hmm. I promise.
All right, folks, I did solid. Go follow me now.
Please. OG right. Everlast. Follow him on Twitter. And thanks to Audible.com. Audible, our sponsor for the day. If you're interested in checking out a free trial, go to audible.com/Joe, and they give you 30 days for free. So download a fucking load of cool-ass songs, or books, rather. Books on audio books, books on CD, books on, just downloads. You can turn them into CDs if you want, I think. Can you? I don't know. Can you turn them into CDs?
Yeah, you can burn it to a CD.
Right?
It is encrypted, but you can burn it to a CD.
You can burn it to a CD. Okay.
I believe. I haven't done that in a while. But I use Audible.
Yeah, Audible's it's an awesome service, and there's so many fucking books there. And like I said, it's awesome for traffic, much like this podcast is. It's good for doing when you're... What happened?
See, every time I go to Audible, it says chat now.
You go to chat with bitches? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Don't write anything stupid.
Hey, it's Mike.
Don't write anything stupid.
Hi, Mike.
Are you sure it's Mike?
Yeah.
You're now chatting with Mike. Let's see if Mike's a dick. Ever been to Olive Garden?
Ever been raped?
No, don't do it. Thanks to audible.com. Go there, audible.com/Joe, and get yourself 30 days of free trial. And it's an awesome service. Great books. And like I said, it's the best for traveling. Really makes it interesting. Makes me not want to park my car. Thanks to onnit.com, O-N-N-I-T, makers of Alpha Brain, Shroom Tech Sport, Shroom Tech Immune, New Mood. What's New Mood, bitches? Serotonin boosting. It's 5-HTP and L-tryptophan. It boosts your serotonin levels. It actually makes you feel better. It's called New Mood. Check it out. Go to onnit.com.
That shit had me tripping balls, man.
It's shit, right? Get yourself some kettlebells. Get yourself some battle ropes. Become fucking savage. The savage that you really want to be deep inside your little caveman body. Use the code name Rogan and save 10% off supplements. And I will see you guys later tonight. One more podcast tonight, late night, 10 p.m. on the West Coast with Duncan Trussell.
Look at you doing it big.
I'm doing it big. I love you, dirty bitches. We're off next week, though. Next week, I'm on vacation. So go fuck yourself, okay? See you soon. Bye. Big kiss. Love you guys.